I was ready. Like, I was already about to start crying because I knew it was coming.
Hey, welcome to Validate Me.
Hi.
Where we, what?
I almost said the Drawfee intro. I'm not even on that show. Hi, welcome to Validate Me. This is a podcast where we validate each other because I show my dad things that I think are really cool, and my dad shows me things that he thought was cool when he was my age.
All right, wait a minute. Hi. Let me.
I'm going stir crazy from being socially isolated.
Let me just say, language wise, mommy and I were both saying, like, you're going to be the surviving species out of the isolation.
Yeah, right.
Right. You're going to be like the new megafauna.
I want to be a megafauna so bad.
Of the world, because it's all about who can stay in their room the longest.
Oh, I can do that. I just feel odd right now.
I just want to point out that you said, I show my dad things that are cool.
That I think are cool.
And he shows me things he thinks are cool.
No, I did not. Did I? Okay. Do you want a fun fact? I have attention deficit hyperactive disorder, which means that sometimes I just completely omit words from the things that I'm saying. Right. I definitely meant to say things that I think
are
cool.
And maybe you said,
I don't,
like,
think I'm cool.
I show my dad things I think are cool, and he shows me things he thinks are cool. Like, maybe it was just like maybe it was just an emphasis thing.
Oops. Yeah.
And so it was your turn. So what are we talking about?
I made my dad listen to the My Chemical Romance album, The Black Parade. A little bit of backstory on that is we are seeing My Chemical Romance in October.
I hope so.
Oh, that's ominous. Yeah, maybe it'll get canceled. Yeah. Gerard does look a little bit like a consumptive orphan. So, like, it would fit their brand.
Yep.
Anyway. Hopefully we're seeing them in October, and so I'm going to, on the way to October, make my dad listen to all the albums so that he has, like, some context as to who we're seeing, and they're not just generic emo band number four.
Yeah, I knew they're nothing special. About them. Like, I knew.
I don't know how. I don't know how that's possible. I heard
a couple of songs, so, like, you made me listen to a few songs here and there, right? I definitely had an impression of them as, like, an emo band, but in the,
they're
like,
the
what
emo
I thought
band.
Emo band.
They're the good one.
Before, now?
Yeah, okay, so here's the thing.
I don't know
we can get into this discussion on the podcast.
I don't think we need to have a raging debate about what emo used to be versus what emo is now, so, and what subgenres have spun up. And
if you're one of those people that's like, emo is only like 90s screamo bands or whatever, shut up. Shut up. Stop.
Sure, that's not what this is about.
Stop it.
It's not even relevant to the podcast whether My Chemical Romance is emo or not, but
yes.
I will concede that My Chemical Romance is emo.
Thank
for
you.
Purposes of this conversation.
Yes. Okay. So, yeah, I don't know. It's a really big subculture, and people really like to be defensive about it.
I assumed they were very different than what I listened to.
What did you assume they were like?
No, I thought they were like when they're an emo band, like I thought I was going to be listening to The Cure, right?
You're not listening to The Cure, my friend.
Yeah. So I'm thinking like mommy's old college, high school music, right, is what I was expecting to be listening to.
High school musical TV.
And they're much punkier than that.
Yes.
For the most part. Like, they're...
Their earlier albums were a little bit more punky.
So I'll throw out there. I loved it.
Good.
Like, I think they're really talented. I think they're really good.
Thank fucking God,
I think it's a little, like, some of the areas are a little too poppy for me. Like, I don't really love pop stuff. I like punk stuff and, you know, I like stuff that kind of, a little harder. Like, some of the stuff gets a little bubblegummy. And I don't love that. But for the most part, like, it's super, super good. And way more varied than I expected it to be. Like, song to song, there's a lot of variation between. I thought they do a good job sort of mixing that kind of stuff up.
Great.
And
it's
then,
less so in their other albums. But yeah, they did get... This is not for... If someone tells me that they sold out and that their sound got more mainstream one more time, I will kill them. No. It is for the purposes of the album, and it just happened the narratives they were telling, like, how to get a little bit more poppy over time.
Yeah, so I think, like... had you not, so part of this too, like at the end of the last podcast,
this is their most iconic album, by the way.
Yeah,
which is why we're doing it first. It's not their first album.
About Leon. Presley said, I want you to see if you can figure out what the narrative is, because it's kind of rock opera-y.
Yeah.
And see if you can figure it out. I think had you not told me that, I probably wouldn't have picked up on the fact that there was a story, like, cohesively through the whole thing.
Yeah.
There's still a couple of songs that are kind of outliers for me, narratively.
We'll talk about that.
I don't know that I want to pick that up, but I think it's pretty cool. Like, I think I like the music a lot. I found myself, you know, singing it to myself and humming it and stuff.
It's getting stuck
in my head and stuff. So kudos. Right. Like, I think it's really good.
Yeah, I'm gonna establish
overall
right now
solid.
That
I'm looking forward to seeing them. Yeah, I wish they would just play this album.
They will play,
because I know it.
You're going to learn the other ones. It's
all right.
Okay. All right. I'm just going to establish now that, like, the narrative is kind of vague, and there isn't a, like, 100% definitive narrative.
Oh, my narrative is fucking locked down.
Okay, yeah, well, it's not lyric by lyric.
Drop an F-bomb
already. I've already said fuck on this podcast. It's okay. Anyway, what I'm saying is, like, the plot points are the same. Where they occur is a little bit, and, like, some specific plot points are, like, argued upon because there's not, like, it didn't come with...
Yeah, no liner notes that explain...
There were no liner notes that explain the plot.
No, so I think, like, the purpose of this podcast, this episode of this podcast, not the purpose of this podcast, I'm sure Presley would love it if it was the purpose of this podcast.
I'd love that.
But the purpose of this episode of Validate Me, I think, is to have a conversation about the narrative.
Yes.
Like, we'll throw in some stuff about what I thought about some of the music, and I've got a couple of little clips to kind of throw in here and there, but I think for the most part, I didn't watch the videos because once I started drilling down on my version of the narrative, I was so, like, infatuated with it. I was like, I don't want to be corrupted by what people think about it.
Do you want to go right out the gate with that? Or, like,
with what?
Your interpretation.
Yeah, we'll
album?
Talk about, like, structure in a second. But so just FYI, I didn't do the videos. I just totally launched into my own thing. I listened to it. I read the lyrics. I didn't read anybody else's interpretation of the lyrics because I wanted to just kind of figure it out. I'm looking forward to going and reading about it and seeing what other theories kind of came out of it.
My theory is the best one.
Yeah, probably true.
I'm cool.
But you know, like, what other people say and what the general consensus is, right? So we'll compare, like, how far off I am. Of course, I think I'm way off from the typical
structure. My narrative is, like, a product of, like, the more I wrote my notes and was, like, comparing it to things that I know you would recognize, the more I realized that my narrative is just me taking, like, piecing things together I think are cool. I mean, like, this is what the Black Parade's about.
Hey, it's like, validate
about,
me.
It's about the dark matter. It's not.
It's astrobiology.
It's about dark matter.
Yeah, yeah.
And
the
like,
show
cool
or the critter? The critter. the critter.
What critter?
Well, the thing.
Why is it a critter?
I don't
Hold
know.
On.
I call everything critters.
I don't like that you're calling
no
it a critter.
There's no such critter is a thing I like to say.
I don't like it. I do like the word
Even
critter.
If it's, like, conceptual. There's no such
gender.
Idea. There's no such thing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, there's a lot of gender stuff in here, actually.
Oh, yeah. That's not even what I was talking. There's so much gender stuff because Gerard wrote it. Yeah. But also, like, critter is, like, excellent gender.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
So just a little creature.
I did also, just so you know, when I filled out your...
What?
Did I fill out? I was filling out some...
Did you put publicly in some paperwork that I like My Chemical Romance?
I think it was... I was doing your high school transcript.
What did you put on it?
Your new... For your application to college.
Whatever. We'll talk about it later.
In one of the places I was filling it out, it had... When I was putting your information, it had gender, and I put non-binary.
Thank you.
As your gender on your college.
I thought you were about to be like emo.
No, like on your high school transcript, I would say, but I put non-binary on
That's
your,
sexy.
On your high school transcript.
I love that.
And I did it somewhere else just the other day, too.
Yeah, no, my philosophy professor uses they, them for me, and it makes me very happy.
It's been popping.
I think he's very cool.
Okay, so here's what we can do. Like, there's a few options.
Okay, so we can go song by song.
We can kind of go song by song. I can give you, like, here's my narrative... And then we can talk song by song about what my supporting evidence is and where I was wrong.
That makes
sense.
We
can go song by song and kind of build the story as we go song by song.
Because I don't want to...
You can tell me, like, what the real narrative is, and I can tell you what I think is...
No, I don't want to,
like...
like
about that.
I don't want to taint your brain with me actually talking about it. So maybe you should give me your big overarching narrative first, and then we can go...
your taint.
Yeah, we can go song by song and talk about... we'll each say our narratives.
Yeah.
And then we will, in, like, a short little paragraph, and then we'll... give our supporting evidence.
Okay, so here's my narrative.
Trial. Okay.
Here's my big picture narrative.
I'm afraid.
And I'll tell you the key piece of my narrative that I think is way off from, like, I've heard you talk about this a couple of times, like, in single sentences.
It's hard to define in a single sentence, though.
But just like the, like, overarching kind of super high level theme, right? Uh-huh. In my narrative. Okay, so the other thing that we should probably point out is throughout this conversation, at least me, maybe Presley too, the main character's name is Michael Romance.
Okay. Yeah, we need to establish that now. This is the most confusing shit in the world, and I'm so sorry, because there's a member of the band My Chemical Romance whose name is Michael.
Is Michael Romance?
Well, his name is Mikey Way, and so he's Gerard's brother, and we love him so much. But that's so confusing. So whenever we say Michael, I am not referring to Mikey.
No,
we're talking about the patient.
I will always call him Michael Romance. I will only refer to him by his full name.
So whenever, for those of you who know the album, whenever we say Michael Romance, we are talking about the character, the main character of the Black Parade, the patient.
The patient.
Yeah, his name is the patient.
Yeah, okay. I
you cannot argue against the fact that he is a patient.
So. I don't necessarily concede that he is a patient through the vast majority of the album.
Okay, do tell.
But I also, I don't concede that at any point during the entire album he dies.
Yeah, see, that's why.
What do you mean?
Dude, tell me about this.
And, I mean, there is death, of course, involved in this thing.
I'm so very confused as to what... Okay, just go.
But at no point in my interpretation of what happens here does he die.
We do argue a lot about which song he dies during.
Yeah,
so.
Well, that's part of the... Yeah, that's part of the problem, is that you're like, oh, maybe he died in this. And then the next song, clearly he's not dead.
Okay.
Like, it would have to be non-linear, which is a potential interpretation that the album is non-linear. But yeah. Let me do my thing. I'm going to tell you my story, and then I know your head's going to explode, and you're going to think I'm an idiot, and you're going to laugh at me, and then you can tell me why I'm wrong. But the whole point of this episode is for me to be super wrong about this.
All right.
So here's what happens.
Okay.
At the beginning of the album,
mm-hmm. Michael. The end.
Michael Romance. Okay. I'm not going to put it even song wise.
Oh, okay.
Michael Romance and his girlfriend
mm-hmm.
are in a car accident.
Interesting.
So, did you guys hear that? Whoops. That was Michael. Yeah, yeah. It was Mikey Way being like, what the hell are you talking about?
I like that Mikey Way personally told you that.
Yeah, he's slacking Mikey. Me. He's like, stop calling that guy Michael Romance.
Mikey. That's so cool.
All right, sorry. I'm going to turn off my Slack notifications. All right, so they're in an accident of some sort. There's nothing in here that says what it is or what happened or anything like that. So I'm just going to, for purposes of my conversation, they were in a car wreck.
Okay? How have you not heard All the Angels? Holy shit. Okay, all right. Keep going.
So... Michael Romance and his girlfriend are in a car wreck.
Okay.
They show up at the hospital.
Okay.
She is a goner, like terminally ill.
Interesting.
About to die from the car accident. Mm-hmm. He's relatively uninjured. Okay. So he's got like minor-ish injuries, but he does require surgery.
Okay.
Right. He has his surgery, and in the process of fixing his minor shit, they figure out, oh, you've got cancer.
Interesting.
And you've got 2 weeks left to live. Okay?
Okay.
So,
whoa.
She's about to die, like, tomorrow.
Okay.
Or she may even be brain dead. And she's in the hospital,
mm-hmm.
and he's kind of talking to her. And he's relatively well,
mm-hmm.
but finds out that he's also terminally ill. He survived the car accident with no injuries, enough that he needed surgery, but he finds out that he's terminally ill. He's got 2 weeks left to live. Okay. So the album, throughout the course of the album, she is dying, mm-hmm. and he's talking to her. She dies, and they had... like this, it gets almost like occultish here. They had like this agreement that they were going to be together forever, right?
Oh.
That they were going to stay together always. And so at certain points in the album, she's actually like, for lack of a better word, haunting him.
Mm-hmm.
Like she's staying with him and talking to him, okay? And they're having these conversations while she's dead, and she's a ghost. I mean, she says at one point, I'm a ghost. I'm arguing that she says that. We'll get back to that.
Okay.
So she's there, and then he realizes, like, early on, he's like, oh, this is awesome. This is kind of what I want. We're staying together. And then he starts reflecting on his life because of his mortality. He knows he's about to die. And he's like, uh-oh, I'm going to hell.
Interesting.
Like, she's in heaven. Mm-hmm. She was a good person because all girls go to heaven or whatever. All good girls go to heaven. So she's in heaven, and I'm in hell. And the only way for us to stay together is if she comes with me.
Interesting.
And stays with me. I can't go with her. Like, it's a one-way trip.
Mm-hmm.
Like, people in heaven can get kicked out and go to hell if they want to, but people in hell can't go to heaven, right? And so he's like, uh-oh. Like, I don't want that.
Mm-hmm.
And so he starts pushing her away.
Yes.
And saying, like, I don't love you anymore. I never loved you. He's, like, doing the, like, teen movie thing.
Or, like, the
superhero kind of thing, right? Like, oh, I don't love you. Like, to protect the other person.
Yeah.
So he's trying to get her to go a walk away and leave me alone and let me go.
Okay.
Right? And I'm going to go to hell, and this is how I disappear, is without you. Because you're in heaven, and I've got to go to hell by myself, and you're not going to come with me to hell.
Okay.
So he's thinking about suicide. Like, he's like, but I don't want to be together if I kill myself, but I don't want to live without you. And I'm lying to you about not loving you. He, in the end, in the last, what's the last song that's not the bonus song?
Famous Last Words.
Famous Last Words, decides he's going to fight and try and stay alive.
Interesting.
And he wants her to go and go to heaven and be apart and leave him alone. Because he still probably thinks that he's going to hell.
Yeah.
He thinks he might have a chance to redeem himself
mm-hmm.
and go to heaven and be with her in the end.
Hmm.
But But he thinks the odds are he's going to hell, and so he wants her, still wants her to leave and be gone and leave him alone.
That sounds so much like something Gerard Way would actually write, though.
So that's the right. That's the general narrative of what I put together out of the thing. And we'll talk like song by song about what my evidence
what's
is.
What's fun is you got all the details right, but the overarching plot wrong. So I don't know how you did that. Okay, so yeah. So if you know, like, it just seems like you somehow combined and got influences from Demolition Lovers, or, well, from the Demolition Lovers, that's what they're called.
Yeah.
They're from the album Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge is the album.
Right.
And so that album slaps. Mm-hmm. It's my favorite. Well, it's my favorite actual album. My favorite stuff is some of their unreleased stuff. But, so it's about these two lovers, and so this guy, his wife dies, and he's like, oh, I'm a bad person, and so he makes a deal with the devil that for her soul back, he's going to kill 1,000 evil men and give them to the devil.
It's like Spawn, kind of.
Sure, I don't know. Sure, and he does that, and that's what that album's about. And so you took, like, the plot of Revenge and then tried to find evidence for it in the lyrics of The Black Parade. And then also, oddly enough.
Okay, well, I didn't actually do that.
Yeah, but it sounds like it. You did. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. As far as I'm concerned. Because that's Revenge. All right. And so, there's a song that I didn't make you listen to, and I should have, oops, that was a song that was going to be on the Black Parade, which I use as evidence throughout. It's called All the Angels. It is a scrap song from the Black Parade.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And it is about her, the lover, is what we call her.
Okay.
And so it's about her, which does... It does fit really interestingly in your theory. And so it's about her and does sort of clarify who she is a little bit more and who the lover is. Mm-hmm. Because, but like, I did want to see what you did.
I mean, clearly there is a lover, right?
Yes, yeah, she's here.
Yeah. She's dead. She's an angel and she's haunting him.
Ooh, interesting. Spicy. Yeah.
While he's alive.
Right. I think that's super interesting.
And like thinking he wants to die.
Right.
But needing to take care of her before he dies.
So
that's why there's like lyrics in there that are whatever.
Okay, so here's the thing. All right. If she just was not dead, you got it pretty good. So I guess I'll just give my interpretation without going in. So The Black Parade to me is about this very troubled man. He's a war veteran. He's in his 30s. This is confirmed by Gerard. He's in his 30s and he's. he's young. He's really young, right? And so he's dying tragically young of cancer. Surprise. Yeah. And so he.
I wasn't sure if, like, the whole war thing was a metaphor if it was literal. So I didn't dive too much into that.
Yeah. And also, he was in the war. Maybe she got killed in the war. Maybe they were fighting together. Wow. So it's about
this... I think it all takes place over a couple of days, too.
Yes. I think it takes place over maybe, 2 weeks. 2 weeks is...
Yeah, I think that's even longer. But, it's a very short period.
It's just 2 weeks to live, my dude.
Yeah.
And so this, takes
place. Oh, yeah, but he doesn't die.
2 weeks. Ooh, no. Yeah. Well, that's actually debatable in my theory, too. Okay, so it's about this guy. He's this troubled war veteran. He was kind of a shitty guy.
Michael Romance,
yeah. He kind of sucked. He dealt with a lot of his problems through, like, alcoholism.
Sure.
He was just kind of bad. He was not a great dude.
Yeah.
And so he gets cancer.
Yeah.
He dies. And in his... And so he joins the Black Parade. And
so you think he dies after cancer?
Hold on. No, I don't think so. No, he does not. He does not die after the song Cancer.
But that's when he gets cancer.
No, it's...
that's part of why I was so baffled by it.
Okay. I will tell you. So here's the thing. When I said it's linear, it is, but then also a lot of the songs are him reflecting on his life
past. Like teenager. Like, that's gotta be...
Well, yeah,
like it's a flashback.
It's kind of a flashback episode of this narrative. So as long as there are no flash sideways, I consider it, like, linear. So it is linear. So I don't know. I just have to make sure I have the song list in order.
Yeah. We'll go through all the songs here in a second.
Yes. And then also, did you listen to the B-sides by any chance? I don't know if you did.
I did not.
Cool. Well, they're really good. And they don't matter. They're just good.
Yeah. Okay.
Kill All Your Friends is such a banger. Anyway. So he sucks. He dies. And so, according to Gerard Way, and, like, what this album, like, the seed of this album sort of grew out of, is Gerard was like, I hope that death comes through, like, your happiest, most vivid memory.
Mm-hmm.
And his most vivid memory is going to the marching band with his father.
Yeah, heaven or hell is whatever you think it is.
Yeah, sort of. We can talk about that more, because heaven and hell, okay, so a really common theme in a lot of emo music is, like...
is what you believe the afterlife will be. Right. Is a pretty common theory.
Like, yeah. Well, he's not... No, that's not what he's saying. He's saying, like, when you die, like, when you're actually dead and dying, your journey towards the afterlife is your happy... Like, whatever memory is most vivid for you.
Yeah.
And so his most vivid memory is seeing the marching band with his father.
Yeah.
In my opinion, the Black Parade does not take place... not, well, I actually don't know how when it takes place, because it's funky, because it takes a lot of inspiration from, like, obviously some older music, uh-huh. And some, like, jazz and stuff.
Yeah.
And so I'm setting it sort of around the jazz era.
Oh, I got you. Okay, yeah, yeah, like, when this happened. Yeah, yeah, the whole thing. Okay, I got you.
Yeah,
I got you.
And, like, that war, because it seems very, I'm kind of combining it with another My Chemical Romance music video in my head.
Should be, like, a World War II, even World War I, that
yeah.
potentially.
Yeah, yeah, like, yeah, World yeah. War I, yeah, yeah. It's probably gotcha. My favorite gotcha. Little interpretation. And so that's the war he fought in, kind of.
Okay, not Vietnam or...
No, yeah. Well, it depends.
Afghanistan.
Yeah. It was clearly... Okay, so the reason I think it's, like, one of the world wars is because
probably
of,
before Afghanistan.
Yeah, so unfortunately... Right yeah, right. Yeah, I know. Unfortunately, you didn't watch the music. It came out in 2006, so it's the older
I will watch the videos. Yes. I just knew they would
so there's
would
this character in the videos called Mother War, and she's wearing a gas mask, and so I think that it could be World War II, too, mm-hmm. because of the gas masks mm-hmm. and, like, radiation and shit.
Yeah.
So, one of those wars.
Yeah.
It's very jazz-influenced, and so that's why.
Okay.
So, anyway, he joins... So, Death and his journey towards either heaven or hell.
Mm-hmm.
It is heaven or hell. Mm-hmm. To me, because mm-hmm. a lot of emo bands are mm-hmm. like ex-Catholic Christian.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very, very common theme amongst emo music. Right. I'm not, but right. I think it slaps, and I right. get really excited when I sing about
yeah.
doing some crimes against God.
It's like Thanatos, like carrying yes. you to your destination. Yes.
So Mother War is
the
his
way
Thanatos.
You expect it to be.
Yeah. Okay, and so it comes to the patient as his. This is going to be a really long podcast, isn't it? it comes to the patient as this memory of him seeing the marching band with his father who
yeah.
passed.
Yep,
and so. As he starts to march in the parade.
Yeah.
And as he's marching in the parade...
I think she's in the parade.
That is a good take.
Hmm.
And I do sort of agree with you a little bit.
Put on your black dress and join the parade. And of course, that could be him, too.
Yeah.
But, I mean, that could
he's
be...
Gerard, dude.
That could be Gerard, but it's probably not Michael Romance.
It could be
this
Michael
guy
Romance.
That fought in World War I is probably not going to put on his black dress and join the parade. She is. The lover is.
Oh, you're combining two lyrics right now, I think, but it's okay. Yeah,
no,
so
it's, doesn't it say
throw
so
on
put
your
on
black
your...
dress, mix in with a lot.
Oh, mix in, but that's about like joining the parade. Inside. The lot, I think, is the parade.
Maybe.
Yeah,
we'll see.
That's
we'll
what. That's what I think.
We'll talk about it. Yeah. Okay, yeah. So he joins the black parade. He walks. He's walking in the black parade, and so he gets to the afterlife. And he's kind of just like he's here and he's in the afterlife. And so I Don't Love You is sort of she's mm-hmm. the last thing she's keeping him from. Mm-hmm. joining the parade. She's kind of her last tie.
Yeah.
Or sorry, hers. I just made it lesbians because I'm me.
Yeah.
She's his. I don't know how to talk about men and women in relationship. What's that?
Yeah, right.
Whoa.
Right.
Yeah. She's his like last tie to Earth. And
oh,
so
yeah.
I Don't Love You is him basically giving her up. And then stuff happens and he realizes that the afterlife is hell that he's in.
Okay, wait. So here's one of my super hot takes.
Okay.
This is one that I love the most, I think.
Okay.
So like I'm saying, when he's in the hospital with her mm-hmm. and she's like comatose and she's about to die, he sort of is thinking about his own life because he's finding out that he's about to die too. Mm-hmm. And he realizes, uh-oh, like we made this deal to stay together and she's going to try and come with me to hell.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want her to leave. And so he tells her, I don't love you. I never loved you. Whatever. Right.
Right.
Okay. And then in I Don't Love You, when he says... Would you like be what brave enough to say or something
would
like
have
that?
The guts to say.
Have the guts to say, I don't love you like I did yesterday. So it's not, I don't love you like I loved you yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
It's, would you say
that is in fact
I don't...
a lyric in the song.
No, no. But yeah. I'm going to get there. Would you say I don't love you
mm-hmm.
like I did yesterday? Because yesterday I said I didn't love you.
Yeah.
And so would you say I don't love you like I said I don't love you yesterday? Not oh, I don't love you like I loved you yesterday. But then at the end, when you get the outro and it's I don't love you like I loved you yesterday,
mm-hmm.
that changes to him saying I don't love you like I loved you yesterday. I love you more. Like yesterday, I loved you in a way that I wanted you to come with me. And now I love you so much. And I realize how much I love you that I want to let you go and I want you to go to heaven
that's
and not come to hell with me. And so I love the fact that the lyric can be, would you say I don't love you like I did yesterday? Could be, you're saying it like I said it yesterday,
mm-hmm.
or I don't love you like I loved you yesterday. Like it can kind of work either way. But that's one of my things.
That's an interesting
is he saying, do you have the guts to say what I said?
I definitely
so
think
that,
that could
so
fit.
That we can leave. And now I don't love you like I loved you yesterday because I love you so much I want to let you go.
Right. I definitely think I could fit in the narrative, actually. And it is, like, similar. Like, you could have that, I guess it doesn't fit in my narrative specifically, but it could fit in the generic narrative that he is just, she just isn't dead, and he knows that she, if when she dies, she's going to want to go to hell, and so she's going to go fuck up everyone's whole shop.
Yeah.
Because she's, I like saying that a lot. I think it's a Griffin McElroy quote. It's like, fuck up your my whole shop.
Yeah.
I love saying that a lot. And she's going to go be shitty, and he's like, no, don't do that, because you're going to, because she wants to come to hell and meet him. That's an interesting narrative that you could definitely take to this.
Yeah, I just think she's
and
already
wouldn't
dead.
Exactly be wrong. Yeah. Right. So, sorry, I'm trying to summarize it quickly.
Because they're,
really
they're measuring a coffin your size, because she's dead.
Ooh.
If they're going to put her in a coffin.
Wow, yeah.
They don't measure coffins for people that aren't dead.
That's talking to his mom in that song.
Yeah. Well,
he's not actually, but it's called Mama.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
I think he's still talking to her.
Right. I'm just so sorry. This is a hard number. So, like, the way I summarize it is, like, it's about a guy who gets cancer and dies and realizes he's going to hell. But there's, like, a lot after that that's more complicated.
Yeah.
So, he realizes he's dying, he's going to hell, and then he realizes through marching in the Black Parade. So, if you look at the vinyl cover of the album, there are children in the Black Parade.
Mm-hmm.
And so, he realizes that, basically, everyone is, there is no heaven, and everyone, regardless of virtue,
that's
goes
we all
to
go
hell.
To hell.
Okay. Yeah, that's Mama, we all go to hell.
Yeah,
and
I
then,
thought it was more, I thought the we was more like people like him.
Kind yeah.
Of. Yeah.
So no, he's like literally everyone goes to hell. Mm-hmm. And so this is also part of me just like putting my interest into this.
Mm-hmm.
And so he goes to hell, and then the last bunch of songs, the last four songs are basically him being like, basically, well, before you get to Famous Last Words. So, Sleep, Teenagers, and Disenchanted.
Mm-hmm.
Mama is when he realizes that everyone goes to hell.
Gotcha.
And so these three songs are him being like, this sucks. Everyone goes to hell. That's not good.
Mm-hmm.
But then he slowly takes pride in the fact that he had like a really screwed up life, and that it's not, and it is flashbacks, kind of. And so both all three of those songs are him reflecting on his life and realizing that it's not his fault that he went to hell, and that he was conditioned through like the war and stuff to be a bad person, and that it's not his fault that he goes to hell. And then Famous Last Words has like three interpretations. Famous Last Words could be him accepting his death and moving on to the afterlife.
Yep.
It could be him coming back to life, which is the literal, I'm not afraid to keep on living.
Mm-hmm.
Or my favorite interpretation is that once you accept that you are, that it wasn't your fault, where you basically just come to peace with that's basically his way of coming to terms with his death. Once you come to terms with your death, then you leave the parade and are reborn.
So I think for me, it was deciding not to commit suicide and to fight the cancer and see if he could live on.
That's super interesting.
Yeah.
I like that narrative. Okay. So
you want to do some song by song?
Now's the long part. Yes. So I don't want to ignore these notes, cause I took them and I took them very diligently.
Yeah.
So the narrative that I'm basing this off, for some reason, I couldn't find. I guess it's just because a lot of it's gone from the internet now.
Mm.
Like, the popular fan analyses, because this was, like, a while ago, and so a lot of people have moved on from that phase of their life, and so it's gone. And so, from the emo phase, right? And so, whoops, the fan analyses are kind of missing, but I found one on Yahoo Answers. So thank you, Keys, from Yahoo Answers. Because your narrative, because someone on Yahoo Answers was like, what's the plot of the Black Parade? And this person basically gave the fan-accepted theory.
Sure.
And so, if you like find that Yahoo Answers, Keys is the user. That's
is there a
what
word
they,
for, is there a name for MCR fans?
Yeah, there's a few. Okay so there's,
I don't worry about it. If there's not one, don't worry about it.
No. We call ourselves Killjoys now, but that came from their latest album, which came out in like 2014.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not, it's new. So they used to call themselves the MC Army, but then the Army existed, and then everyone was like, ugh. And so then we call ourselves Killjoys now, because we don't want to be, no offense, we don't want to be associated with armies.
Yeah. Okay.
Very different communities of people.
Yeah.
We don't like, we're not the BTS Army is what
so
I'm talking about
specifically. This is the
not
Killjoy,
the, army.
The Killjoy in accepted interpretation of what happened is
vaguely.
What you found.
Yeah. So the one that I have is very vague, and then I just put a lot of like my own
my
little twists on it.
Yeah.
Right. And so it's basically just like what I just said.
Yeah.
It's the interpretation, but it's written better than what I just said because I was rambling. All right. So let's start with the end.
Okay. Sorry. All right. So the end. All right. So this is what I've got. Like, so he was in a car crash and his girl's like in a coma. Like, that's not in the song, but that's just to hold the narrative together. Like, that's fine. They had a deal to stay together forever. Again, not in the song, but that makes the narrative kind of hold together. But he says, you're too young to die, my dear. Or too young to die, my dear. He doesn't say you. I concede he doesn't say you. But I think he's talking to her. And she's in a coma, laying in the bed. And he says, if you can hear me, just walk away.
Interesting.
Like, if you're dying and I know you want to stay with me and we had this deal, but if you can hear me, I want you to just go, right? So that's the first sort of thing of, if you can hear me, just walk away. But I've also got this, I got one of my audio clips from this song. Ooh. Very Rocky Horror.
Oh, yeah, you're right. I know, like, Gerard loves me.
Super Rocky Horror
moment. Gerard loves them some Rocky Horror. Chender, you know.
Yeah, so that's I mean, I've got really tiny clips for, or notes right. for each of the songs to kind of tie it together. But that was
is a very valid comparison.
Too Young to Die, My Dear. Too Young to Die, My Dear. And If You Can Hear Me, Just Walk Away. Is the beginning of him being like, oh my God, you're going to die first. I never thought that would happen. And
right.
I'm going to go to hell, and you're going to go to heaven, and I think we made a mistake. And so if you can hear me in there, in your coma, just go.
Okay. So I'm saying now that my interpretation of the songs and how they work is actually, like, the more I realize it's not exactly narrative. It's a narrative as in, like, a musical theater piece narrative.
Sure.
And so this is, I almost compared it to a musical you haven't listened to.
Yep.
But, like, you know, it's their big opening, setting the tone song.
Yeah.
That's, so it's not exactly the specific, narrative. It is just sort of like the setting the stage, you know. So it's not actually sung by the patient, in my opinion. Setting the stage for the tone of the album.
Yeah, like the gather around and listen to the, like, it's almost like the stories about the
come
story.
One from all of this tragic affair.
I'm the storyteller by the fire about to tell you I'm the bard of the party.
Yeah, Gerard is the bard.
Right.
Gerard the bard. You know? And so, yeah, this is them. I'm using they/them pronouns for Gerard, by the way. They are fine with using he/him. It's fine. Right. You are allowed to do that.
Do you use he for Michael Romance?
Yeah, because in the interviews, Michael. And so, yeah, I will not be using he for Party Poison either, but that's way down the road. Okay, anyway, so yeah, this is the end, and so it's basically just, it could also be if you choose to believe the patient comes back to life, it could be the patient telling their story. And so maybe, like, not delivering a sermon, because the patient very clearly doesn't like religion very much, but, like, you know, telling their story. And so it is, in my opinion, Gerard being like, come, we were this big, this edgy, like, black caked in black makeup look in the past. So the looks also changed. This is unfortunately my least favorite Gerard Way look, which is, I'm sorry I had to start you off on the blonde buzz cut. It's my least favorite one.
Oh, I didn't watch any videos. I didn't look at any pictures.
Not
I don't know
my
who,
favorite.
Who we're talking about. Like Eminem?
Yeah, like Eminem, but like better. He looked better than Eminem.
I can't even imagine him looking like Eminem. I don't need to see a picture of it. It's okay. I'll look it up later.
Okay. Well, yeah, I have Revenge Gerard on my wall.
Looking up pictures and showing me pictures is not good podcast.
Okay. Yeah, but just so you know. So they did come from this very, like, he always had caked, like, red eye makeup around him. Like,
yeah.
This tired and, like, big black.
He looked like Robert Smith.
He looked like the picture right there.
Yeah. He looked like Robert Smith.
Yeah.
Or who did I say he looked like in that one picture?
I don't know when I'm afraid.
No. You agreed with me. You're like, oh, in that picture, you're right. He does look like that person. That's in the Icky Thump guy.
Oh, yeah. The guy from, I don't actually know his name. His name's Jack, I think.
Jack White.
Is he the same Jack White? Yeah. From the White Stripes. He's cool.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, anyway, this is him. This new look is, like, not very, it's very, I mean, it's very dead looking. Mm-hmm. It's, like, white and almost and thin and scully and, like, not a lot of makeup on.
Okay.
And so this is, like, literally just him being like, we're changing our tone. This is setting the stage for our new album.
Gotcha.
And every album has sort of a setting the stage opening that sort of gives you the tone for the album that is about to happen.
Yeah, I'll buy that.
Cool.
Just one clarification. I asked at the very beginning of this whole thing, in all of these songs, is it Michael Romance talking? And you said yes.
I was wrong. Don't trust me. You should know that.
Okay. No, totally. It still fit. All of it fits with my theory. It's totally fine. Yeah, but I did clarify that when I first started diving in.
Yeah, no, feel free to ignore what I said, because I also saying that it was linear. I did say, when you asked if it was linear, I think I was like, kind of.
Okay, yeah. here's
dead.
Here's dead. All right, here's mine. So this is another, like, lyric that fits with me a little bit. If your heart stops beating, if you go to heaven, I'll be here waiting, talking to her. When you die finally, you're in your coma, when you go to heaven, I'll be here waiting for you.
Interesting.
And this is before he knew he was going to die. Cause then right after that, during this operation, we found a complication. You have 2 weeks to live, right? So he finds out he's dying. And then that gets the whole, if life ain't just a joke, then why are we laughing? Because, like, for this situation to happen, like, for me to survive this accident only to find out that I'm terminally ill and I would have died in 2 weeks without ever knowing about it if we hadn't been in this accident, and the only reason I know it, like, that's just life being a joke, right?
Yeah.
That's like life playing a joke on you because it's so bad. The whole never fell in love kind of starts here, the I don't love you kind of thing. And he keeps saying, if we were dead,
Yeah.
Which is like the suicide thing, right? And I think he talks about like a gun in my hand or something like that, right? Mm-hmm. And so like he's thinking about killing himself so that he can join her when she dies.
Okay. Interesting. Okay? Yep. So here's my my dead analysis. Oops, I just slowed down to how I disappeared. Hold on, where are we at? Uh-oh, did I not? Okay, so I started labeling my notes better after this song, apparently. Okay. Okay, so yeah, obviously the song introduces that the patient is dying. And so this is when he finds out he has 2 weeks to live.
Maybe not obviously.
Maybe you have just 2 weeks to live. Right. Is that the most you can get?
Yeah, okay. Right.
And so this is literally just him realizing that he's dead. It has been said kind of that not even the doctors really seem to care that he's dying. It's very impersonal. Mm-hmm. And this is when, because this album is very themed around like regrets, and this was also very true in like Gerard's personal narrative, because and a lot of members of the band were like getting over addiction, getting over being. They definitely weren't a party band ever.
Mm. Yeah. Motley Crue.
They were not that at all. Why kiss groupies when you can just kiss other members of your band? A lot. Weird amount, Gerard. And so yeah. So this is.
Marilyn Manson stories that go that are pretty. Horrifying.
So I don't want to say, so this is so a lot of the songs are not, I like to talk about, I will talk about the narrative, but they're also very personal to like the people writing them.
Yeah, of course.
It's kind of both, because it's a rock opera, it's not a musical, and so it's also a little bit about
death of the author.
Yeah, right. And so, you know, he's dying, and this is when he starts to realize that as in his like last 2 weeks of life, nobody is visiting him as he's dying of cancer. So his parents are dead. And his lover is estranged from him. They have had a really bitter breakup, and they haven't seen each other in a really, really long time. And so this is him coming to the realization that as he's dying, basically, like, nobody is there for him. Nobody is there as he's literally on his deathbed.
Right.
And so, like, no one ever had much nice to say. I think they never liked you anyway.
Yeah, so this for me was something I've not personally experienced, not that happened to me, but that I have seen happen to people personally. Mm-hmm. Like I've had personal experience with it. Is like his girlfriend, his family didn't like her at all, like hated her, and so she's in a coma and she's about to die, and they're like, oh well, you know, you're actually probably better off.
Yikes!
Yeah. And so
such an asshole thing to say. My family,
they're trying to reassure me by saying, "Oh, don't worry about it. You'll find somebody better." Basically, like not saying that, but they're not being super like, "Oh my god, this is terrible," and the way he thinks they should be. And so that's the people that don't have anything nice to say because they never liked you anyway. And so my family is telling me I'm better off that you're about to die.
Right. And so did you get what you deserve? That whole stuff is not is being, I think, the patient sort of like. Talking not necessarily about themselves, but also of other people's perceptions of him, is him being like, yeah, you deserve the end of your life. A lot of this could come from like his family too, like not supporting him going to war and killing innocent people. And so there is sort of an attitude of you deserve to die because you killed innocent people in the war.
Sure.
Right. Which is also, you know, it's kind of a World War II thing. It's one of the world wars. I'm sorry, I don't know enough. My history is not focused very world-centric.
Yeah, everybody kills people in wars.
That's world War. Yeah, the World Wars scare me, because people who are history buffs for one of the world wars sometimes are a little not great.
Yeah, well, Civil Wars used to be worse, at least, people that were Civil War buffs. Yeah,
Civil War buffs, but, like, World War II and World War I can also be, like...
Yeah, yeah. All right, I'm with you.
Right. Anyway.
This is how I disappear.
Okay, so just like an FYI, almost every time you talk about this is how I disappear in Sharpest Lives, they're connected. I don't know why. It's a really interesting phenomena that like everyone I've talked to views them as a pair. And they kind of are narrative-wise. Right. Just like putting that out there. Okay. We'll talk about them separately, but...
All right, so here's my hot take on This Is How I Disappear, which I think I like this song.
I think this is
one of the ones. I meant to note like my three top favorites.
One really important thing favorites. Before we move on. Yeah. Sorry. So this is where people start to disagree about where the patient dies in the narrative. Mm-hmm. Some people think the flatlined and dead is when the patient actually dies. Mm-hmm. I don't.
Yeah, yeah. I certainly don't. I think maybe that's when she dies.
Right. But some people think that he dies in that.
Yeah, yeah.
He doesn't.
All right. So so she's haunting him. Mm-hmm. You get a direct reference to a seance.
Yes.
Which I think is their relationship. He knows she's in heaven. He figures out he's going to hell. And he'll be without her when he dies because he wants her to not follow. And so this is how I disappear is without you. I don't want you to follow me, kind of is the theme, right? All good girls go to heaven. That's where she went. Mm-hmm. there's things I've done you should never know. That's him sort of realizing, uh-oh, like, I'm not going to follow you, right?
Yeah.
And then the bridge in this one about the, like, I'm just a ghost now.
Yeah.
Like, it, I've got a clip of this one, actually, right here.
It is very high-pitched.
So, very falsetto, yeah. Very, like, ghost haunting-like. Mm-hmm. Like, it's different than what's happening. And it's almost like Mama. Like, clearly when Liza Minnelli's singing, that's somebody else, like, talking, right? And so this, and it's the same place. It's the bridge. It happens in the same place. The voice sounds very different in it. It sounds very, like, haunting. And it says, I'm just a ghost now. I can't hurt you anymore kind of thing, right? So I think that's her talking to him.
Right.
Whereas the rest is not. But I'm so far away from you now, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's her. Like, ooh, this is not what we expected it to be kind of thing. And so I think that there's a clear indication with that falsetto that you're switching to her voice. Okay, so that's my how I disappear.
Here's a bit of setting discourse, too, that's, like, in people's interpretation of the album. Okay, so, in my humble onion, he and his partner, the lover, have been estranged for a very long time. Mm-hmm. She doesn't even know that he has cancer. This is made pretty clear in All the Angels to me. But some people say
which is not canon.
Which is, it is a scrap song from the album. And so it was in the narrative of the album, and they took it out, I think, because
it's like the lost books of the Bible.
They took it out because it didn't match the tone. That's not considered
canon anymore. That's why they took books out of the Bible. Like, they're not canon anymore, too.
Right. Yeah. Well, a lot of my opinions on the lover, because, like, All the Angels is about her.
You've got, like, the Gnostic songs from this album.
Yeah, oops. Well, it's just one. Yeah. And so, yeah, All the Angels is just, like, my interpretation of the lover is kind of from that.
Yeah.
And so she doesn't know that he has cancer and he's dying. Mm-hmm. And so a little bit on Dead, which I forgot to say because I'm smart. So they start getting labeled by song on Sharpest Lives. They're kind of just a mess until then.
Yeah, well, that's next. We're almost there. Right. Yeah.
Yeah, I know. So there's the interpretation too that she left him when she heard that he had cancer, which is, I don't like that one. I don't like that. And so that's also an interpretation here, which can also make sense with the song.
Right.
But this is,
I think that's a little too on the nose, frankly.
I know.
Like, I'm going to die without you because you're leaving me because I'm dying. That's a little, I think that's not giving them enough credit for
great. And so
thoughtful lyrics.
My interpretation is, so all of this, like, seance heaven stuff is not, now that death is really heavy on his mind because he's dying, it is, like, kind of a metaphor for the relationship that, and, like, possibly, like, she could have even, like, said, like, you're dead to me. And it's all coming, like, he's realizing now that he's dead and now that nobody cares about him.
Yeah.
That he needs to try and make amends before he dies. He doesn't have a lot of time to do that.
Yep.
And he also doesn't. But he's like, he needs to, like, see her and that she's, the seance is, like, very metaphorical. And so there's also this really interesting line, which is just sort of on how Gerard spun this metaphor, it's about Bess Houdini. Is Harry Houdini's wife did a seance after he died.
Okay, sure.
And so that's what the seance is about. And he's
Wait. They had
maybe, I don't know.
No. Houdini and his wife had a secret code, and so was supposed to do a seance after he died, and the medium that ran the seance, she would know if the person was faking it or.
Right.
Really in contact with him if that person could give her the secret message.
Right. And that's what that lyric is inspired by. Of course he figured that
out. Oh, is it? Oh, I don't know. I know that story, but...
If you could talk to me, tell me if it's so that all the good girls go to heaven. Well, heaven knows.
Oh, interesting.
It is inspired by, it could even, her being like, if you, Harry Houdini, could talk to me, tell me if it's so that all the good girls go to heaven.
Oh, maybe.
And so it is him, you know.
And maybe that was part of their secret message, even. I don't remember what their secret message was.
Yeah. So it's like the famous, so Gerard is known to be really into Houdini.
Mm-hmm.
And this is like, the I'm Not Okay. There's like the music video, the MTV version, like lists a bunch of things that he's into, and that's why he'll never be cool. One of them is Harry Houdini. I think you would really like that video.
Yeah, I'll watch them now.
It's not on this album. Once
I dug into my thing, I didn't want to watch videos.
Right. And so this is him, basically saying, she is the, like, also my last connection to this earth. She's kind of the last person that would remember me fondly, even a little bit. And so this is his. He's having a breakdown, basically, this whole album. And this is where my self-projection starts to get really hard, is that he is basically... I don't want to call it bipolar depression, but it is kind of bipolar depression, where he's, like, going from alternating between, like, mourning and being very sad and, like, kind of whiny. And, like, can you hear me cry out to you? As he's trying to reach out to her. And then it sort of ends with a breakdown of not being able to reach her and getting really bitter. Like, now you want to see how far down I can sink. Okay. Let me go.
Yeah.
And he realizes that if you're not giving me back, if you're not coming back, because they had such a complicated relationship and it ended so poorly that she, and he hurt her a lot, that she's, doesn't necessarily want to come back to him in his last moments. And she's still, she's not coming back to him like he imagined with this big tearful reunion. Like, I've always loved you still.
Okay, well, let's switch to Sharpest Lives then.
Woo!
Because this goes to give me the kiss of death before she leaves, right? Or something like that,
just
right?
Just give me a kiss, but you know.
Well, but I assume, I make that kiss of death.
Before she goes.
Like, I make, kiss in this is dying, always, right? So, kiss before she leaves. If she didn't come back, then what's the kiss before she leaves thing? Because to me, that's like, I want to die before she leaves me. Like, I still want her to go to heaven and not go to hell with me, but I want to go first. I don't want to suffer the pain of her leaving me, so let me die. And then there's a, I think, in one of the songs coming up, we dive into that a little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Deeper. Yeah, more deeply.
Right.
Let me do this one real quick. All right, so that's the kiss before she goes or she leaves or whatever, right?
Right.
Shot to remember. I think that's interesting wordplay, right?
Right.
I think it goes back to like the filter song that we talked about the other day in the car, like, "Hey Man, Nice Shot."
Oh God.
Because like, is that him like committing suicide? Is a shot to remember is him killing himself?
Yeah.
Right. Is that
that's
him?
Such a good song,
and that'll take the pain away, right?
Mm-hmm.
I want a shot to remember to take the pain away, and I want to do it before she leaves me.
Mm-hmm.
Kiss of death and surrender obviously is in there. Like this, you can leave, like the saint abandoned me. Like, you should leave me too, right? So it's kind of the opposite of what you're saying, which is, I want you to come back to me.
Mm-hmm.
He's saying, I want you to leave me.
Okay,
right?
No.
Leave
me like this. This makes sense, I promise.
Like this.
Wait, he's having a breakdown. Oh, keep going.
Yeah, so that's it. And then I do have one sound clip from this one.
Give me a clip.
I like this one.
Like, what is that? What are they doing? Oh, what are you doing?
When I re-listened to it in headphones, I was like, huh? Wait, okay. That seems, that's a weird.
Until you hear like Destroya and stuff.
They kind of drop in there.
Gerard has a habit of making a lot of noises, especially a lot of moaning.
I'm looking forward to seeing that live.
He's going to make that sound live.
So that's, and he has to do it exactly like that, or it doesn't count.
I can't sing along to that part, unfortunately.
That's my take of Sharpest Lives.
Cat tings.
I want to shoot myself in the head.
Here's my take.
Before
me. This is an excellent standalone song, away from the plot of the album.
Yeah, this is definitely one of my favorite songs.
Agreed. Yeah. Off the album, this is definitely my top three.
Mm-hmm.
I adore this song.
I hope we get to see this one live.
It's a really good standalone song, because the narrative is... It's a really sweet narrative, or not a sweet. It's not sweet at all.
It doesn't sound sweet at all.
It's sweet as in I like it, and it's of like, and a really common theme among a lot of Gerard and Frank's lyrics of like, I'm not good enough for love, and like, I suck, you shouldn't love me, and I think that's neat. And also, it's a theme song for a lot of my characters, because it's a really common. That's a really common theme that I use in my writing, because I feel it. All right, so Sharpest Lives is, so if you take the breakdown from the last song. Which I didn't know was a musical term until I looked at the lyrics on Genius. But it is literally a breakdown.
I'm there.
And so he's like trying to reach out to her, and she's apprehensive, and he's like, well, actually, fuck you.
Mm-hmm.
And so the Sharpest Lives is bitter, as he realizes, like, both, it's like, it's like this bitter, how am I, I've forgotten this word, like, continuously for the past week, like, self-reflection is a better word for it, but whatever, this bitter self-reflection and looking at why they broke up, why she's not coming back, and, like, sort of saying that he's, and, like, their relationship was during that part, and he hurt her a lot because he was, like, doing a lot of drugs and alcohol. He was doing a lot of alcohol. That's how you say things.
Yeah.
But, he was going through a really bad time after the war, most likely. Hmm. He dealt with his war memories by being super intoxicated through various reasons.
Yeah, there's a really interesting play, too, here. It's like, so I think a shot to remember actually has, like, 15 meanings.
So do I.
And so, for me, like, a lot of it is the suicide thing, right? Because that's going to take the pain away and stuff. But there's also this interesting... I used to be, like, a heavy partier, like you're saying, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if I drink a lot, I will remember what it was like at that time.
Yeah.
But at the same time, it will wipe out my memory to take the pain away.
Yeah.
And so a shot to remember, but both to wipe my memory and to make me remember, like, there's a cool, like, double meaning there. But, I think what a shot to remember means is, like, different every time you
I
listen to it and every time he says it.
Thing. Okay, so I definitely agree that it is, like, a shot to, like, remember... you know, for like, maybe to even remember happier forgetting. Times. Yeah, to remember, right. to feel like he's in happier times, so he forgets the pain and consequences, all the bad stuff that he did.
Yeah.
And it could also be, you know, war and guns. And
but, stuff. Like, sometimes you also look fondly back on times that you were a partier, right.
and
if could, you're not a partier for sure. anymore, right?
And it could be also, like, him, since he's realizing he's dying and realizing he kind of wants to die, mm-hmm. like, I wish I got killed in the war and all the pain was taken away from me. I got shot in the war.
Yeah.
You know?
Another shot, yeah.
Yeah, and so it's both of those things. And then it's also, it is just sort of him, this is before he dies, in my opinion, and so this is him sort of even, I think this song is literally, yeah, where I'm in my interpretation right before he dies, and so it could also be his memories sort of coming back to him.
Oh, yeah, yeah, of, yeah. Like, your life flashing before your eyes. Thing. Yeah, yeah, sure.
And
I got that.
There's more of that after he dies, actually.
Right.
But he's sort of like, you left me. Okay, and so here's where All the Angels comes in, just a short conversation about All the Angels. So, All the Angels starts with, she got the call, and then she threw her jacket off and stormed off down the road.
Mm.
They got the call and picked him up at 4 a.m. and tore off down the road.
Mm.
And so, the chorus is, All the Angels say you are all to blame.
That was right before the car crash.
Ooh, wow. Yeah, and so, yeah, so it is, she went alone, moved to the emergency, parked her car in the dark. They told her, please, she only has but minutes more, you might just say goodbye.
Exactly. She was in a car crash.
She went alone and went to the emergency.
And she only had a few minutes.
Parked her car in the dark.
Yeah.
They told her, please,
she went to the emergency, which is the car crash.
Okay. it is the emergency ward, but, you know, that works too. And so, yeah, All the Angels is sort of
that's worse. The fastest way to get the emergency room is crash your car.
Yeah.
And have an ambulance take you.
It's too expensive in America, healthcare. Right. No, so this is my interpretation of where All the Angels would have been. It's kind of right here or right before. Mm-hmm. Is she... As in his final moments, they call her, and because she's like the only person that cares about him anymore.
Right, right.
And they're like, hey, he's about to die.
Right.
You should come and see him.
Right.
And this was also before I think they made his narrative that his cancer a lot longer in between when this song got cut out and that.
Mm.
And so it was a more like emergency, like we found he has stage 4 cancer. He's dying now.
Yeah. Or, I mean, maybe the 2 weeks are running out and nobody's come to see him. And so
they finally reach
out to her. Yeah.
Right. And she didn't know, which is why she tore off down the road. And it was such a dramatic thing.
Right.
And it is, if you could maybe figure it out, would you still explain? And if she said she was sorry now, would you still complain?
Mm.
And so if you can find a better way to love me, then you are the blame. And so it is her watching him die, basically. And his, sort of his narrative is also influenced, like, the Weary Widow is as she kind of comes in and he dies, like, sort of at the same time. Gerard is a huge fan of tragic love stories.
Is that one in this? Is the Weary Widow in this one? That
one's in Black Parade.
That's Black Parade, yeah.
Which is the one after this.
Yeah.
And so she's the Weary Widow, obviously.
Who marches in the Black Parade?
Yeah. Wow. So she's, and she's being haunted. Like, All the Angels say you are all to blame. She's being haunted by basically not saving him. There is a possibility that he could be dying of, like,
she could have cured his cancer.
Well, so we don't know what kind of cancer he has.
Yeah, but it doesn't, does it matter?
No, it could have been lung cancer. And so she could have saved him from his addiction. Which is, it's a shame.
Yeah,
so,
yeah,
wow.
Yeah.
Thanks. Yeah. She could have, right. So it is sort of her regrets of, like, wishing she could have been there for him.
Yeah, sure.
Or saved him or something. Like, if he, maybe even, it is, like, a very, because, you know, grief doesn't make sense.
Mm.
Her being, like, I could have saved him if he had, like, lung cancer.
No,
or
of course.
If his liver failed.
Yeah.
Or I could have, if I was there for him, he could have had the strength to keep fighting cancer.
Sure.
So, that's All the Angels. It's a really good song.
Okay.
Anyway, now we get to the titular piece.
Woohoo! Welcome to the Black Parade. Which starts with what note?
The G note.
The G. You want me to play the G again? I've got it here. So
you can play it. Yeah. Everyone will start crying. So if you play that note in a room full of millennials and Gen Zs.
What do you think are the odds they don't play that in
the
show?
No. So I thought they weren't going to at the return show. This was my mind because it was their second encore.
There's no way they don't play that song.
I think it was their second encore. It was either, Welcome to the Black Parade was the last song they played during the return show, which I watched live. Wow.
All right, I'm gonna throw out my notes. My
that
first
shampoo, I owe you my life.
My first note is that it's a little ballsy to call this Bohemian Rhapsody.
They didn't. I don't know why people.
Because it's not, and I've heard that a lot.
Gerard
and
didn't
it's a good song, and there's
that?
A lot of layers to it, and there's a lot of stuff going on, but it's not Bohemian Rhapsody, people.
Right.
Like, let's, come on, get
so,
a grip.
So the thing is, okay, so Ray Toro, the guitarist, we love him so much. He's, like, just nice.
Yeah.
He's, like, just pure. He's great.
Right.
We love him so much. He said that it is their band's Bohemian Rhapsody, as in it is their sort of their centerpiece, their overarching, like, changing narrative that really represents the tone of the album and the tone of their music and is, like, sort of their most famous song. That's why Ray said that. And then people also say it's this generation's Bohemian Rhapsody, which is a little... Bohemian Rhapsody is this generation's Bohemian Rhapsody. It didn't go away. Right. Yeah. But, like, as in, it is, like, this most... This
look,
very
it's,
iconic look,
it's a great song. Like, don't get me wrong, Ray, but it's not...
Very Bohemian good Rhapsody. Song.
All right. And then, so his dad... is in the context of the song, like, this could be flashback, it could be whatever, right? Yeah, so his dad is gonna die soon and apparently wants Michael Romance to beat Batman. So he wants him to be the savior of the broken
and
the damned.
Believers, the plans they have made.
Yeah, not right. Not even that, but like the next line too, like the because will you protect them.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Right? And so he's
a savior of the broken, the beaten, and the damned.
Maybe that's just because I'm watching Arrow right now, but it felt like his dad wanted him to turn into become Batman or Arrow.
Here's a funny little tidbit. So you know, like, everyone with Corona, with the whole coronavirus scare, is like, here's some 20-second things that you can do while washing your hands so you don't have to sing happy birthday. Yeah, right. One of them is, like, from when I was a young boy to the beaten and the damned.
How about count to 20?
Okay, no, I can't. Okay, like, I can't.
20 Mississippis. Like, it's not that hard.
I can't because my brain goes really fast.
Totally separate thing. ADHD. All right, so I've got. So still, he wants her to leave him. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I get the feeling that she's watching over me because she's dead and she's an angel and she's watching over me.
Dad, do you know that more than one woman can exist?
Other times,
it's very male-centric view.
I feel like I should go.
Yeah.
Like, sometimes I want to be there with her watching over me, and sometimes I feel like she should actually stop watching over me because she should go.
Right.
And then your wary widow marches in the Black Parade. Like, she's dead. She's in the Black Parade. And it's like the Rainbow Bridge, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the Black Parade to me is very much like the Rainbow Bridge, where, like, all your dogs go when they die, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's very, like, euphemistic kind of, here's what. And, like, I get what you're saying about, like, your afterlife or your journey or something like that is what you envision it to be, or like a memory that you've had or something.
Right. So I have the quote like from whatever. Yeah. I have the quote in here. So this is a Gerard quote.
Yeah.
I'd like to think that when you die, death comes for you however you want. So that is what you're saying. Is like, but this is specifically the journey of death. And I feel that it's your strongest memory, either from childhood or adulthood. For this particular character, his strongest memory is of being a child, and his father is taking him to the parade. So when death comes to him, it comes in the form of a black parade.
So it like modified, though, right?
Yes.
Like, it was, his dad wasn't talking about the black parade.
No.
His dad didn't say, someday I'll leave you a phantom.
Okay, so to lead.
To lead. His dad's going to be the leader of the
No, that's Mother War, and I love her. She's
band.
My mom.
Yeah.
We'll talk about her a little bit in this song, too. So this song is going to get a lot of talking about because it's so important, and it is sort of the masterpiece of the album, and it really is quantifying the album into one song.
Sure.
And so it is death. He dies. He dies. This is a song where he dies.
Okay.
He dies.
He joins the Black Parade.
And he joins the Black Parade. And the death.
He leads the Black Parade, maybe, even.
Ooh, maybe.
Or is his dad still leading the Black Parade? No. Or is that just...
That is him dying.
But so after you make the trip to wherever you're going, you're no longer in the Black
Yes.
Parade. Yeah, okay.
Okay. Yeah. So yeah, the Black Parade is what... some people say that the Black Parade is the afterlife and you march in the Black Parade forever.
Yeah, it's crossing the River Styx.
But
In your interpretation.
If you say that, you're wrong because this is my interpretation. Is better. Yeah. And also, I think it's really funny that I was on...
Chiron? I always get those guys confused.
It is Chiron. Yeah. Thanatos is...
No. Chiron and the, who's the Minotaur teacher? That has almost exactly the same
name
as Chiron.
No, it is. It's Chiron and Chiron.
Yeah,
I don't actually know the difference either, because you sounded right. I think Chiron actually might be the one.
I think that's the Minotaur. I think Chiron is the ferryman.
But maybe it's the other way around.
Yeah, it could be.
I don't know.
Whatever.
Sorry, Percy Jackson, I failed you.
That's the Black Parade is taking the ferry across the Styx.
Yeah, pretty exactly.
Yeah.
And so, the Black Parade is what takes him
to the party barge across the Styx.
It's the party bus. And so, it is the party bus to... hell.
Yeah.
He doesn't know that yet.
Yeah.
But he's like, I'm dead, and he's dying, and so it is his life flashing before his eyes, kind of. It's his strong memory of the past, of his father, who has passed since. Mm. And so this, like, son, when you grow up, would you be the savior of the broken, the beaten, and the damned, is, like, obviously hypothetical and over-dramatized. Maybe it is what his dad said to him, but it's a rock opera, so it's dramatic.
His dad was Batman.
His dad was Batman. No, so it is sort of his memories of his father, like, kind of very fragmented, especially when he was going through, like, the bender that he was on, of his father being like, I'm about to die. And, like, I think that his father even died while he was still... like, on said bender and, like, in a really, really bad place.
Okay.
And his dad was like, I want you to be, defeat your demons. I want you to, and, like, there was a possibility he was even, like, suicidal.
No.
Like, I want you to live and I want you to be healthy and be with, and, like, you know, be better. And so I think this is a convoluted memory. Like,
right.
So I think, like, obviously the memory is changed by death, because it's not a Black Parade, it's a regular marching band.
Yeah.
And so, like, it starts to get kind of cinematic here, and from the next couple of songs to me. And so he's at the Black Parade, and his dad is there, and he is, like, sort of taking the place of his young boy. And his dad literally says to him that, mm-hmm.
He's dying. It, like, didn't happen in the memory, but that's what's happening.
As he's dying.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right. One day I'll leave you a phantom to lead you in the summer to join the Black Parade. And so his dad hands him off to the Black Parade. Sort of, you know how... in some, I don't know if it's a biblical interpretation, but in some interpretations, like, your loved, a past loved one takes you up to heaven.
Yeah, yeah, sure.
So his father basically gives him to the Black Parade to be carried off down to
heaven. And he is a phantom now because he's dead.
And so, One Day I'll Leave You a Phantom is him saying, I'm about to fucking die, you need to clean up your act.
Yeah, but is he saying, I will leave you a phantom?
Yes.
Or I will leave you as a phantom?
Okay, so...
I will turn you into a phantom. I will leave you, and you will be a phantom. Or I will leave you as a phantom. I will leave you a phantom to join the Black Parade.
Yes.
Because I will do what you're saying. I'll take your hand, and I'll lead you to the Black Parade, and you'll be a phantom, and off you'll go with
the
Black Parade.
That's interesting, too. Yeah. Yeah, to be like, he could also just be saying, hey, I'm giving you the Black Parade now. Would you be the savior of the Black Parade?
Yeah, so this, to me, is more about him. Like, in my narrative, right, it's him... knowing that he's dying and thinking about the Black Parade and that she is currently in the Black Parade making her march. Yeah.
So, I'm going to say right now, and I don't know if this is true, a lot of the she's in this album are not referring to the lover, they're also referring to the patient's mother in Mother War. Okay, so Mother War, it's sexy, you don't know about her because she does affect the narrative a lot.
Yeah.
Her name is Mother War. Mm-hmm. I don't know where this is established, but her name is Mother War, and she's my mom, and I love her so much. Mm-hmm. She is, like, literally a representation of war, surprise. Mm-hmm. And she's a personification of death, sort of as in Four Horsemen,
right.
Kind of death.
Yeah.
And so the she's watching over me, what you need to understand about Gerard and Mikey is that their grandmother, they were very, very close to their grandmother, whose name is Helena, and one of their famous songs is called Helena.
Mm-hmm.
Her name was Elena, which is pronounced Helena, because that's, I don't know why.
Yeah.
That's how names work. And so she's really, her passing affected Gerard and Mikey a lot, because he even passed during the course of the band.
Right.
And so it influenced their music a ton. And so this is sort of... it's sort of double meaning of his mom has also passed, him saying, sometimes I feel she's watching over me and she's disappointed about, like, the war.
Right.
She probably passed at a really young age.
Right.
I feel like he's kind of orphaned. And then also she's watching over me, as in Mother War, the personification of death.
So what is the other times I feel watching. Like I should go? Like, what's the counter to sometimes she's watching over me?
Other times I feel like I should go. Well, so this makes more sense, I guess, in, like, the my mom is there and she's there for me. And she's watching over you helpfully. So this is, I don't actually remember where I have this established, but there are some lyrics that kind of hint that his mom is, like, disappointed in his war, and, like, both how he destroyed himself and others in the war.
Yeah.
And so sometimes she's, like, calmly watching over him and a warm, safe presence.
Right.
And sometimes he feels like she's disappointed.
Oh, gotcha. Okay.
This is also, like, the seance could be alluring to, like, the fact he's very, like, into occult and his mom's in the afterlife.
Okay.
And so this is him... let me get to my actual notes. I'm just looking at the lyrics now. It's very, very theatrical, obviously. He realizes that as long as his memory is alive, he is too, which is also established in How I Disappear.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, people are going to carry on as he's dead, and life will keep going. And the people he knew will still be there. And so he's starting to be... defiant against, like, both the Black Parade and his life. This is sort of him giving up his life, too.
Yeah, yeah. So that is, to me, is him telling her, you can go, and we'll carry on. Like, we'll be okay. You don't have to stick around for us. You've earned your reward. You're getting what you deserve. Don't give it up for me. Because I think at this point, he's starting to feel more like she's getting close to giving up her ticket to heaven.
Interesting.
And so he's like, no, like, we'll carry on, we'll be okay, this is how it works. We were wrong when we decided that we were going to fight against this and stick together and make it work together, and so now you need to go and we'll be fine. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So the end of the song is very defiant, and so I think that and that's also fading into the next song, I Don't Love You, is, so he's trying to march in the Black Parade, but he still has, like, unfinished business, and he is defiantly, like, sort of refusing to, so his dad is, like, handing him to the Black Parade and be like, you join them, this is where you go.
Right.
But then he's still tied to Earth through some of these memories,
right.
And he's defiantly, being like, I'm not, I still have, like, unfinished business, something is still tying me to this earth, and so he ends up in this sort of, this is, like, my own interpretation entirely, by the way, this is, like, so not at all interpreted normally, but he's sort of in a bit of a purgatory state through I Don't Love You.
Right.
And then, yeah, what's going on, I Don't Love You.
Yeah, so I Don't Love You, I've got, so this is,
like, this is your centerpiece.
This is very much him saying goodbye again. We already talked about the whole, like, you, like I did yesterday, being a cool, like, twist, potentially. Very cliche, you good for nothing, get out. Like, it's the whole, I don't love you, right. You should leave me alone. Shit. That happens in every, like, teenage movie or superhero movie.
Well, I think about Free
movie.
From Dark Matter, because I like the him.
When you're trying to, like, you're a superhero and you're trying to protect the person. I should have spaced you when you had the chance. Like, all of that kind of stuff, right? Better get up while you can, which is to heaven. Mm-hmm. It's time for you to go up, like, very clearly. You need to get up. And then in the end, his saying, I don't love you because I love you more now. I want you to leave me. I care more about you going to heaven than I care about us staying together.
Right.
Because I don't love you like I did yesterday. Because yesterday, all I cared about was us being together. And now I realize that there's more to it than that. That's the gist of I don't love you that I've got. We already talked about
my,
it a little bit.
Here's my purgatory theory. And it also carries over into House of Fools a little bit. And that's, like, actually really not that all well structured. So maybe it isn't in House of Fools. Mm-hmm. But so the Weary Widow is... So since he dies in the Black Parade and in All the Angels, he only has but minutes more.
Yep.
You might just say goodbye.
Yep.
She sort of arrives during the moments of his death,
right.
Because Gerard likes tragic love stories a lot.
Right.
And so his Weary Widow marches is sort of her, and I Don't Love You is her, like, spending his last moments, or his last moments with her.
Mm-hmm.
And then the hospital, as, like, he dies, he flatlines, and the hospital staff takes her, like, pulls her out.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, the Weary Widow marching, is that it, the hospital staff kind of pulling her out of the room is reminiscent of the Black Parade to him.
Right.
Sorry, I didn't clarify that. Okay, so, I Don't Love You. It's very clearly, it is him, it is that he's actually not, whatever he's saying is not reaching her,
because
he's dead.
Right.
And so this is where he ends up in purgatory, kind of ghost purgatory kind of stuff. Because I like ghosts, and Gerard likes ghosts, is that he is basically watching his funeral and her grief and all of this kind of stuff. He's watching her as she leaves, and he is trying to convince himself. He's basically like, actually, I want to die. And he's convincing himself through this song that he doesn't love her anymore. And he is doing that by framing that because she's so hesitant, she's a weary widow, she's so hesitant to be with him, and she didn't come to him when he needed her and how I disappear, that he doesn't love for me. He doesn't love her. She's still a good for nothing. I don't know.
But he says, will you say you don't love me like you did yesterday?
Yes, because her...
If it's Michael Romance talking...
No. Okay, so it is Michael Romance convincing... Michael Romance is... not able to join the Black Parade because he thinks he can still be alive for her to love him. He thinks, like, her love is supposed... So he thinks that they could still... she could still save him. And he is... So if he convinces himself that they don't have love anymore, then he can move on. It is a very personal thing. So it is...
When you walk
unfinished
away,
business.
What you say?
Well, yeah, I don't love you like I did yesterday. Yep. Would you have the guts to say? And it is also him... falling out of love with her, not necessarily because of his, not falling out of love, but convincing him he doesn't love her because of her cowardice, because she doesn't have the guts to say, she doesn't have the guts to say it to his face, is what he's mad about, is that she was just sort of vague and not, I'm sorry, I think you can hear mouth noises now because I'm very dehydrated, and it's really gross, and I'm sorry, is her, him saying, you didn't even have the guts to tell me that you didn't love me anymore, and you were just vague and didn't keep communications up with me and didn't, like, maybe even ghosted me and didn't respond. You didn't have the... And you come to me now that I'm
dead. Was that a pun?
Yeah. You come to me now that I'm dead and don't even tell me that you don't love me anymore.
Yeah, I mean, I think in mine, it's more that, obviously, they both have to have the guts to let each other go and go their respective places.
Right? You want to talk about House of Wolves?
And love each other more.
Very excited.
Okay. House of Wolves might be my favorite song.
Agreed. So House of Wolves and Mama are tied for my favorite
song. As just a song,
it's
just
so
to listen
good.
To. Like, I think it's really good. Actually, I've got a clip for this one, too. I think this was kind of funny. Where is it? Oh, here it is. Fine. What's that roll?
Love his little roll. Like, I love his little
There's not even an R there.
It's it's on the D. It's super, I can do it too. I'm not gonna do it on the podcast.
What
I can
D?
Try.
Ashes to ashes.
Oh, it's
what's ashes where's the D in that?
He just doesn't say two. He just does that sound instead of saying two. I guess.
I don't know. I think it's super funny.
Oh, it's on the set. No, it's not. But it's like, isn't it? I actually don't know what it's on. I know I can do it when
no,
I'm singing
it dramatically. I mean, it's totally.
Yeah, it is.
He's saying during when he's saying ashes to ashes.
Yeah, he's just making a sound. It is on set. I told you.
Oh.
It's because he makes a DR. Whatever. Yeah. So Gerard does his word. He does his sounds really weird, especially his vowels.
Yeah.
So I do them because my self-taught singing is also very heavily based off Gerard because right. I really, really like their voice. And they do their vowel sounds very, very odd. And also all their other sounds included. Like their D is basically an R, so they can roll it.
Okay. How's Wolves? We talked about this in the car the other day, He's got some, or this is the car. You got some contrition to spare. I've got some contrition to spare because I've never used any of mine. was definitely my take from that. He has zero contrition. And so he's got plenty left over from when they passed out contrition when they were making him. Mm-hmm. You play Ring Around the Ambulance, get the choir boys around you. Mm-hmm. So that's her as an angel with a choir boys around her while he's dying and she's gathering around him in the ambulance. Or while he's in the ambulance going back to the hospital. Right. So that's her, with a choir.
That's interesting.
Playing a ring around the ambulance. So he's finally getting sick enough that he's having to be in the ambulance and he's having to go. She's starting to get in trouble for helping him, for, sticking with him and not going to heaven.
Such a Gerard narrative.
And heaven is like, hey, the door's closing, right? You need to get in or out, right? Mm-hmm. And so that's why they'll run like the devil. You need to run like the devil, right? You got to get out of here. You have to go. It's too late. It's almost too late. You have to get away from me.
So you're not seeing the song as a fuck you.
I think there's a pun. No. I think he's totally reaching out, positively. I think there's a pun of running like the devil to get into heaven. I think that's super funny. You need to run like the devil because you're totally running out of time.
That's so funny.
And then I really like this one, too. So tell me I'm an angel and, take it to my grave or something like that. Tell me I'm a bad man or kick me like a stray, right? So here's my play on that. So tell me I'm an angel until I die and go to my grave so that I feel good about what's happening. But after I die, tell me I'm a bad man and kick me like a stray so that you're in heaven not defending somebody who's going to hell. So up until that point that I die, you can be standing on my side and helping me and telling me I'm a good person and I can turn it all around. But after I die, because in Christianity, in theology, once you die, your chances are over. Yep. Up until the minute you die, you can turn it all around and you can change everything.
That's
as you die, it's
so
over.
Weird, right?
Your choices are gone, right? And so he's saying, tell me I'm an angel and I'll take it to my grave or whatever. I don't remember what the line is, but it's something about up into my grave. So he's saying, right up until I go to my grave, you can tell me I'm an angel and keep trying to save me. But after I go to my grave or take this to my grave, then tell me I'm a bad man and kick me like a stray because it's time for you to get on that side and not get in trouble for supporting me.
Right.
All right, that's my house.
Time for me to self-project a lot more.
Yep.
There's a lot of self-projection in this album because I have mental health issues.
Yep.
Okay. And this is a really, part of why this album took off so much is that it is, such a mental health anthem for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Okay. So
we're an hour and 12 minutes.
I know. I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's totally fine.
It definitely speeds up. This is the plot is... it definitely speeds up what the plot is after this.
Yep.
Because, some of the songs are basically the same thing. All right, so this is him as he is... I Don't Love You is him finally letting go, and he is in the afterlife now. And he's just kind of, chilling. And the afterlife is, very...
So he died in Black Parade.
He died in Black Parade. Story. Yeah, and he tried to join the Black Parade, but then something was holding him back.
Okay.
When then that's
he was
where,
kind of in purgatory.
Yeah, he was a little bit in purgatory. So the Black Parade is kind of purgatory, but...
So in House of Wolves, where is he? Is he back with the parade now?
So
is he in hell?
He is in hell. Okay, so what happens is he, at the end of I Don't Love You, he is sort of, in between in between songs, he joins the Black Parade again after making his peace with her.
Yeah.
Then letting go of that last connection, and he's in hell now.
Okay.
The
House of Wolves
is in hell. Yeah, and so this is him sort of realizing that he's in hell.
Yeah.
Another quote from Gerard, this is confirmed by Gerard, is that this is the song where he realizes he's in hell. Mm. And Gerard is like, maybe he walks into a seedy bar in the afterlife and he's reminded of the wages of sin. And so this is supposed to represent, because it is it's very jazz inspired, it's pretty reminiscent of jazz music.
Mm, how they
it's
roll their jazz- R's.
Yeah,
their D's. Right. How they roll their D's.
Yeah, just jazz. It's a jazz club in hell. It's very fast paced and it's I don't know. It's the I don't know how to describe this now. The very the femme fatale.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
It's very femme fatale-y. It's this den of sins.
Yeah, yeah,
is
sure.
Where the House of Wolves is, and that's the House of Wolves.
Okay,
is the maybe it's even called the House of Wolves. You never know.
Yeah.
Is this jazz area, and he realizes, holy fuck, I'm in hell.
Right.
This is hell. And so this is also completely my own interpretation. This is not said in anyone else's... Well, maybe it is. It's not said in any of the common interpretations. But I think he is watching his funeral. So I'm imagining this as a little bit... he's, like, watching his funeral somehow. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Because I'm a millennial, there's always TVs in bars.
Yeah.
And so maybe there are screens, and he's watching his funeral.
Right.
And so he's watching his funeral, and that's where all the religion comes in. It's at a church. And so he's... and there are people there. And so the people who didn't have much nice to say and didn't care, didn't like him anyway, are there sort of faking that they... Or, like, it... Okay, I just realized that I'm taking a lot of the music video to I Stand Up and Say What the Hell Are You Guys Talking About?
Oh,
that
song. Yeah, yeah.
Because it is in a church and him being like, you guys are all pretending to be virtuous, but you're not.
Yeah, and that happens. Like, I've totally experienced that, right?
Yeah.
Like, people... Yeah, saying nice things about people that don't deserve nice things, or saying, like, really shady things in really nice ways is even worse.
For sure. We live in Los Angeles. Of course you've experienced that.
Well, no. I also know you're saying after they're dead.
Oh, no. Oh, in funerals.
Yeah, at funerals.
I thought you meant in general. I was like, yeah.
No. Like, being at a funeral and, like, trying to think of something nice to say about somebody, or wanting...
I've read about it happening a lot.
Wanting to still throw shade on people, but...
Even when they're dead.
In a way that sounds like you're not throwing shade at them or on them. Do you throw shade at people or on people?
At people.
At people, okay.
Yeah, so I love this song a lot, so I'm going to talk about it a little bit. It's going to be a little bit longer than it needs to be, but you can know. So this, that's what sort of, like, get the choir boys around you as a compliment, I swear. And so this is also foreshadowed, and this is one of the B-sides is Heaven Help Us. I didn't make that connection until I was on the podcast.
Not canon.
I know it's not canon, and I know I said I was going to use one not canon song, but I... made this connection on the podcast because there's a lyric in Heaven Help Us, which could be from the patient's perspective, which is, I've been thrown out on these cathedral steps while spitting out blood and screaming, someone save us. Mm. Is he kind of fell to religion to save him, and it failed.
Mm.
And so now that he didn't want his funeral to be at a church, he's at this church, and these people are pretending to be virtuous and tell me he's an angel, take this to my grave.
Right.
They're all like, he's an angel. But then also, I've been a bad motherfucker, tell your sister I'm another, is him being like, in the... at the seats when they're not up, like, giving their speeches, there's whispers amongst, like, the crowd that he was a bad person, and he killed a lot of people. Especially, like, so in my brain, this is, like, one big brother, older sibling saying he was actually a really shitty person.
Yeah.
You don't want to associate with him or his friends that are still around because he sucked.
Right. Okay.
And so that's why, tell me I'm an angel, take this to my grave, is, like, as they're literally taking him to his grave, they're saying, oh, he is an angel. But then he actually wants him, tell me I'm a bad man, kick me like a stray, like, you really act like I am, and like you think I am.
Gotcha.
Don't be a fucking fake person.
Right.
And so this song is also the peak of, I have this fun mental health thing, which I am projecting onto the patient a lot, because it makes sense. And
Michael Romance,
is that, like, I somehow keep convincing myself that I'm inherently an evil person, and that, like, not even, like, in a bad way, just, like...
a good evil person?
You know, I'm just, like, I'm fucked up and evil, and that's, like, how it is, you know?
Right.
Is that, like, you know, I suck and I'm evil. Like, just, like, specifically the word evil, of, like, I'm inherently evil, and, like, that's how it is, and maybe I'm okay with that. And so this is him also convincing himself that he is a bad man, kick me like a stray. Him convincing himself that he's, like, evil, and sort of realizing, too, that he deserves to be in hell.
Yeah, okay.
All right. Cancer. This one should be short.
Right. Right, so he's dying. Hardest parts, they'll finally be apart forever if she does what he wants. If I say goodbye, if you say goodbye today, I'd ask you to be true. Mm-hmm. So this is, like, the first time they said goodbye when she died. That wasn't a real goodbye because she came back and they're staying together.
Oh, that's cute.
And so he's saying, this time when you say goodbye, I want it to be a real goodbye. Mm-hmm. I want you to be true. I want you to leave and not try and follow me.
Oh,
so
interesting.
So sticking with my narrative is the, if you say goodbye today, make it a real goodbye this time. Not like the last one we had.
That's an interesting, that's a hot take. Okay, so this is super, I think Gerard should hire me to make a musical movie out of The Black Parade because it's all cinematic to me.
Nice.
And so this is hit. Everyone else has left. This is, like, super cliche movie shot. Everyone else left.
Right.
She's still there
at
his grave.
Right.
And she's sort of, like, thinking about, like, I will not kiss you. The hardest part of this is leaving you. Maybe she even sees him because it's, like, occult and ghosts and stuff. And so she is, like, reminiscing on the things he said to her, or at least tried to say to her, and she ignored, while he was dying.
Okay.
And this is her sort of being like, call my Aunt Marie, help her gather all my things, bring me in all my favorite colors, which they didn't do.
Right.
turn away because I'm awful just to see. I'm just soggy from the chemo. Mm-hmm. This is all the stuff that he said to her as he was dying.
Yeah.
And that he wanted to say to her, maybe even, is right. that it is... Actually, that's better. Just kidding. I just changed it.
right.
is that it is... if you want to go super cinematic cliche, she's at his grave. They're having their cliche, like, last meeting.
Uh-huh.
And he's saying all the things that he wanted to say to her as he had cancer. And he's like, turn away.
Yeah. But he wouldn't say... go get my clothes.
Yeah.
In that moment.
Right.
That'd Barry be a real weird. I wish I had told you to get my green suit.
No, Barry No, that's not what it means. It is, he's talking about himself as he's so.
Do I have any regrets? Yeah. Didn't like what you buried me in. Right?
Like, no, it is. It is him sort of like, because House of Wolves is all about like, right. fuck you, you did my funeral bad.
But it could also be him, like, as spirit, like, thinking back, right?
It could also be a flashback. It could also just be not told to him.
Yeah.
But it is, maybe it is even just him saying this to her and she doesn't hear
this one's,
it.
This one's pretty on the nose. There's not a ton to say about
it. But, like, you know, and then, like, help her gather all my things is now that he's actually dead, they have to, like, you know, get all the stuff from this place. And if you could get me a drink, is him sort of receding back into what made him belong in hell and why he's in a bar in hell.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Yeah. I was thinking more literally with, like,
it
water.
I
need to eat some ice chips.
It literally is a drink of water. Yeah. That is the lyric. But it is, get me a drink, .. of water.
I'm sure how much I love that ice. Man, it's so good.
Love ice chips. All right, Mama. This is maybe also my favorite song because it's very good.
So, this is one where I have to stretch. this one I fully admit. Like, a lot of this really worked with my theory. Like, I think I've got evidence and lines from the songs and stuff. So, Mama, I think is still her. I think he's still having...
Incest?
No. Like, I call my wife Mom all the time, right?
Did they have a kid?
No, I don't know. Maybe they did. It's possible, right? Maybe it's just a term of endearment.
Kinky.
Like, it's like a... Maybe it's just a, like, sticky... kind of funny thing that they call each other.
I mean,
like married, like old married couples do that. Right. They're using it like ironically almost. So I'm saying that part
there's
feels like a stretch.
Like, little Mama. Or
and I could probably make it work if it was like literally his mom or if it was something else, but I think it works better with it being, her, like to stick with the whole narrative, the lover. So my primary note is she's still trying to save him, but he's being a dick. and so, same thing. When you go, don't return to me, my love. So, on the nose for what I'm talking about, right? When you go and don't come back. Right now, they're building a coffin your size because she's dead. And this is only a couple of days later. Like I said, this has only happened. So, she hasn't been buried yet. They're putting a coffin together and getting ready to bury her. And then clearly in another voice, if you called me sweetheart, maybe I'd sing you a song. So, that is her saying... I want to, like, put in a good word for you, right? Like, I want to talk to God and say, hey,
she can sing a little song in her heart.
I love him. Mm-hmm. He doesn't deserve to go to hell. I want to stand up for you, right?
Right.
And say, if he's going, I'm going. Like, it's you take both of us or you take neither of us, right? And if you would call me sweetheart and say you still want to be together and you want to fight this fight together, then I will do that. And we'll either go down together or we'll go to heaven together, or we'll go to hell together, but we're going to be together if you would say that I'm still your sweetheart and we're still that relationship that we had before. And then he says, but I don't deserve it.
I might take this narrative from you because I think it's neat and it's not me copying this because it's
I need to listen to it like several more times
it's
fitting.
It's a really cool idea.
Right.
And also I have like a weird obsession with Fallen Angels, which is a little bit Neil Gaiman's fault,
right?
I think but it was there before I watched Good Omens.
And then there's something about like if you stay, I'll take you with me. Right.
Right.
Which is if you stay any longer, you're going to hell with me. Like you don't have any choice. Yeah. Okay. Right. Go ahead.
So this is, Mother War and his mom is kind of both. So to me, the patient's mother was a very religious woman. And she was also, like, both of his parents were trying to save him from his bender and from his, it probably wasn't a continuous bender, but, you know, from him destroying himself, his self-destruction.
Right.
And she wanted him, and part of why he got so pissed in House of Wolves is, like, she wanted him to be saved through religion and through the church. And then that's also comes up in Heaven Help Us. And so he's... sort of now that he's realized that he's in hell, is like bitterly like, Mom, we all go to hell. And this is when he realizes, I think that he realizes it when he realized, I don't know, because I feel like he didn't process it. He makes a connection, because there were children marching in the Black Parade. On the vinyl album cover, there are children. Yeah. He's like,
I got one more hot take.
Count Dave?
To throw out the little marching skeleton guy on the album cover is like probably the best tattoo I've ever seen in my life.
Would you support me if I got that tattooed on me?
Not right now, but yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I will.
I think it's...
No, I wasn't saying right now immediately.
I think it's one of the best tattoo
That's
designs.
That's not legal. It is a really good tattoo, isn't it?
Like, I think it's a brilliant tattoo. Yeah, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, no, I agree with you, and I'm going to do that because it's sick. And I also really like the solvent. It means a lot to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hope Gerard doesn't...
That can be your first tattoo.
Yeah, I hope Gerard Way doesn't do anything really shitty.
Yeah.
Because it's a really, really important album to me and my mental health journey.
Death of the author.
Yeah, it's okay. And also, he didn't draw that, so... he probably drafted the sketch, but, you know. Because he does art and stuff, and he's very cool. I love Gerard very much. Anyway... So this is him, yeah, it's literally Mama, We All Go to Hell, him making the connection that everyone goes to hell, especially, so this could be taken two ways. It could be everyone goes to hell ever, or it could be in this wartime, everyone has committed some atrocity to stay alive that we are now all going to hell.
So there's also this really interesting, this is a kind of a deep dive in Christianity, but so there's this idea in Christianity that the only way... that you can go to heaven is to accept Jesus Christ as the Son of God and as like your Savior and to ask for forgiveness and stuff. And that there is a there's a very valid argument that children under a certain age aren't capable of doing that.
Right.
And so there's an argument that they all go to hell because they can't.
Yeah, baby, hell.
If that is the one thing that gets you into heaven, then if you're not capable of doing that, then you must go to hell. Right. That's and so a lot of people like have this like waiver that they've created in their head that says, no. Like clearly children get a pass.
Kids can do everything fucked up and evil.
So there's like a second way to get to heaven is through whatever mechanism, like an infant, like I'm talking about like a child that's stillborn.
Yeah, I know.
Right. And so does a stillborn child go to hell because they're not able to accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior? Or is there some mechanism, other mechanism by which? So just the thing about when you talk about like the kids,
you know?
The kids in the parade going to hell, like that makes me think of, and I've had
That's
these
true.
Huge like apologetics is what you call it, like people that try and argue about what the Bible means, right? And so I've had these huge debates with preachers and people like that about this idea about whether children, like infants that die go to heaven. And if so, is there another mechanism aside from accepting and confessing your sins and doing these things that get you into heaven? So maybe that's why the kids
In case you couldn't tell, my dad was it's a Scorpio and also a philosophy major. So there's
Those were good times. Like on campus at the University of Texas, we had these traveling preachers that would always come along and they'd be in the quad, like, you know, preaching publicly.
I get
and they
tempted
would just,
to because I've gotten yelled at by Jehovah's Witnesses.
They would just field questions and you could just add, and we would just talk all the time about the problem of evil and about things like this. Like it was great. I loved it. All right, anyway.
Yeah, good times. Yeah, philosophy major things. No. Okay. So also gender.
Yep.
This is not, I think this is also just a side effect of Gerard's gender and it fits in the narrative too. Because, you know, they're kind of both. This is a song that makes me yell about gender. And I also think that the fun thing about this song is that the lyrics, you should have raised a baby girl, I should have been a better son.
Yeah.
Can go both ways for both binary trans people.
Yeah, sure.
So like for a trans man, it could have been, you should have raised a baby girl. I should have been a girl the whole time. Or I should have been a better son to convince you that I'm a man.
Right.
Or the opposite, like a trans woman saying you should have raised a baby girl or maybe I should have stayed a son.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's not what the lyric means to me at all. But
that's like
gender, you know?
The shot. Like, I think that could mean like 50 things. Like, you can unwrap that a lot. All right.
That's what it means to me because I'm gender. But like also wider. So like you should have raised a baby girl as in you should have raised a girl who didn't get drafted.
Yeah, sure.
I should have been a better
Or son. You should have raised a girl who, if it was World War I, didn't go to war.
Yeah, that's what I said. Doesn't get drafted.
It's
okay.
Yeah,
you should have raised a baby girl who didn't go to war. I should have been a better son because she was, and this might be where I picked up that like she's very disappointed in the shit that he's done with this fuck of a gun.
Yeah,
you would cry out your eyes all along.
Yeah,
so I think she died before he was went to war. She's been dead for a really long time.
Yeah.
And so you should have what the war did to my legs and to my tongue.
Right.
He could have actually had a leg injury and to his tongue, like he became a shit because he saw, you know, because like a lot of people who go through like war and get traumatized become really rude just because they're so fucked up,
right?
Or like people who go through trauma in general tend to lash out. They tend to be either, like, hyper-empathetic or lash out.
Okay. I've got a thing coming up, too, that ties into something you just talked about a minute ago.
Interesting, right. And so, yeah, she said, "You ain't no son of mine. For what you've done, they're going to find a place for you and your manners when you go." And so maybe she didn't die. Maybe that's me being weird. Sorry, my narrative has changed, like, multiple times.
During this conversation?
Yeah, no, just because, like, no, yeah, because, like, I have a bunch of different, you know, it's bits and pieces and putting them into one structured story.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that's a good piece of work. Like, the fact that you and I have such different interpretations of the work, like, that makes it a good piece of art. That you meet it halfway and you bring a lot of your own story to it.
Right. So she's saying basically you're gonna go to hell because you killed innocents in the war.
Yeah.
And you're mind your manners when you go. When you go, don't return to me, my love. You know, it's mom and mother war. It could also just be mother war saying that.
So
mother
for me, like it makes it because like you and I think in the car maybe we were listening to this and I was like, why is she telling him to mind his manners in hell? Like that seems like a stupid piece of advice to give. But if he's talking to the lover, and saying
mind your manners when you go back up.
Yeah, mind your manners, right? Yeah, because that it makes more sense for him to be telling her in heaven, and then you know, don't return to me. Like, go and mind your manners. Like, don't get in trouble because I don't want you down here with me. That it makes more sense going that way to me than going that way.
You
want to
talk about sleep?
Yeah, sleep. So sleep is another super short one for me. It does have the "How could you cry for me?" Like, I'm getting what I deserve. Like, don't cry for me. Just kiss me goodbye and sleep. Mm-hmm. And then this one ends with a wake up, which is him realizing I don't want to go. Mm-hmm. Like I've been either thinking about committing suicide or just giving into it and letting myself go from the cancer and dying and I'm looking forward to it and it's over. This is when he turns the corner and starts thinking maybe I don't want to go.
All right. So a bit of backstory about House Gerard recorded talking.
Mm-hmm.
This
is that one. Yeah.
Right. So this is both a reference to Glass and the Ghost Children by Smashing Pumpkins. Smashing Pumpkins is like Gerard's favorite thing in the world.
Okay.
They talk so often.
Like the Pumpkins?
Yeah, they talk often about how the Pumpkins influenced their band. And actually, the Smashing Pumpkins theory is the correct theory about their return. Or maybe it's a coincidence, too. But, like, the Pumpkins were together for a bit, and then they broke up, and then they came back.
Yeah.
And it just happened that they were together, broke up. They were together for the same amount of time, broke up for the same amount of time, and came back at the same time.
That's funny.
Right?
Okay.
So that's the Smashing Pumpkins theory, which is when they returned. So, yeah.
And are they together right now, or do they break up again?
My Chemical Romance?
No, the Pumpkins.
I genuinely have no idea.
You should probably look that up.
Oh,
no. I don't know how long.
We don't want to think about that. So this is it's a reference to Glass and the Ghost Children because there's a clip of the vocalist talking. So these are not recorded for the album, actually. Or they were recorded when he was, oddly enough, he was staying in the Paramore mansion when he was recording the demos for
the band
album. the band Paramore.
their mansion?
Hayley Williams' personal mansion. He was in this mansion, which is like supposed to be deeply haunted. And while he was recording this, and so he was experiencing these night terrors.
Yeah.
And so these are like just super mashed up clips of him describing what his night terrors are.
Yep.
And so that is what sleep is about. And so sleep is him. Both Mama and House of Wolves are kind of realizing that he's in hell and everyone goes to hell.
Yeah.
And sleep is him being like, oh fuck, that sucks. Like, that's not great.
Yeah, so sleep, I've got, like, kiss me goodbye, and I'm going to sleep. I'm just going to go. And then he's like, no, wake up. I don't want to go.
Right
at the last second. Right. Like, holy shit, I made a mistake. I don't want to go. Right?
Right. So to me, sleep is a metaphor for being super heavily intoxicated, like a drink for the whore that I'm
interesting.
In.
Okay.
And so sleep is a metaphor for being so out of it that you're basically asleep. Like, you don't remember anything about what you did. Mm-hmm. You're basically sleepwalking.
Yeah. Like, obviously, I went deaf.
Asleep. Right. Well, he's already dead to me.
Yeah.
And so he's dead to me. Right. In my interpretation, Michael is already dead.
Right.
And so it is him, like at the House of Wolves.
Gotcha.
Getting slammed.
Yeah.
And just getting super fucked up. And so it is him going into the state of apathy.
Mm.
Once he realizes that he goes to hell and everyone else goes to hell, he realizes like there is nothing he could have done. He's stuck here now. In a drink for the horror that I'm in, for the good guys and the bad guys,
because
they're all in hell, for the monsters that I've been.
Oh, right, gotcha.
Unapologetic apathy.
I like that.
Yeah, so this is him in, and this is also this is a coping song for me. And then he just is, and the hardest
this
part is the awful
not
thing.
Not using any of that contrition.
Yeah. The hardest part is the awful things that I've seen is very much like a war thing. And so that's him being like, fuck, this sucks. And so then teenagers, go ahead and give me your teenagers hop date.
Yeah, pretty short for me too, because this is the one that's the most just out of band.
I'm so excited for this one because it was to me for a really long time too.
And so, but the clean up your looks with all the lies in the books, that's what, this is where I wrote, that's what you do at a funeral.
Oh, yeah.
That, like, you dress up and you go lie about how much you loved that person and what a good person they were and how they're in heaven now and they're doing all these things when that's not how you treated the person. Mm-hmm. It's a wild, like, it's a very specific line in this song. Like, that's what I thought about, was times I've been at a funeral and heard people saying things that I knew they would never
they're
say about
clean
that person.
Up that person's looks with all the lies.
Well, you clean up your looks when you go to the funeral, but then you come with all the lies in the books and you lie.
That's interesting.
So I didn't necessarily think about it as cleaning up that person's looks. It's you clean up your looks so that you're presentable at the funeral, and then you go lie your ass off about who this person was.
Make a citizen out of. But I like that.
That make a citizen out of you, like the dead person. Yes. They're going to try and make a like better that. Citizen out of you. Yeah. And so this to me is him thinking back about maybe how he got in trouble in the first place. And so this to me is like the start of his journey down a bad way, was the bullying that he had and that kind of stuff. It does. To me, it doesn't fit as well with like your World War One thing because it feels very emo, and there weren't like I don't know that there were emos in World War One or World War Two even you know like in the '40s and so like that kind of put your makeup on and dress take an aggressive stance
dark
or whatever
in your clothes,
darken your clothes and strike a violent pose like some of that stuff feels very. Like
I don't know,
80s,
about, like 40s culture, but it could
and so
be
it
like,
doesn't
you know,
that doesn't jive with that kind 60s. Of thing. But like whatever, it doesn't 50s? Matter. Like this, like I said, this one felt super out of cycle for me. But I'll let you dive into it.
World War II was 1939 to 1945. I feel like there were still
what
like.
What did you say?
Well, sorry, I just wanted to make sure. I didn't know what you just said. 1 year.
I said the '40s.
The '40s. Yeah. Okay. Sure.
I mean, the bomb dropped in like 44, 40.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's you know, I think there were still subcultures then, and there was still like the deviant, like because being a deviant was such an even more of a
example. Yeah, but I don't know that darken your clothes was like that feels very emo to me. And then when he talks about like your makeup and some of the other songs and stuff, that feels very like.
What
80s.
Was the precursor to greasers? Mm-hmm. Whatever that was is yeah. darken okay. your clothes, darken your clothes, whatever. Right. So
zoot suits.
That. So yeah, what I'm talking about. So this is what this is. I stole this from someone. I don't remember who, but this is where it all started. Like. This song didn't make any fucking sense to me. And then they said, this is about his life as a teenager at boot camp. And I was like, oh, fuck. Because it is, they're cleaning up your looks with all the lies in the book. So he was this edgy teenager. And so there is this phenomenon both in modern life. And there is a possibility that it isn't set in any time. It's set in a very... So I actually don't think it's set during World War II. I don't know if I said that. I never did. I think it's set in a war, like, inspired by... You know, what am I... I'm sorry. I'm not even, like,
we will replay this tape.
Okay, no.
It was literally on a podcast.
I think I said esque, but, like, you know. I'm just really unclear with my words. You know, I don't think they're talking about a specific war.
Okay.
I just think it's, like, it's taking a lot of inspiration from that. Yeah. And World War II, we'll get on in a second.
Yeah.
And so it is him... there's this, like, phenomenon, you know, where kids, like, in poverty and, like, just generally estranged kids are sort of, like, preyed on by military recruiters. And so he was one of those people. So they're cleaning up his looks with all the lies in the books. They sleep with a gun, keep an eye on you, son. They watch all the things you do. It's him basically going through this intense, like, super intensive boot camp, being made into a soldier, a la Captain America. The drugs never work. They're going to give you a smart because they've got methods of keeping you clean. Like, he probably was still kind of a shitty teen and a rebellious teenager. He's always struggled with mental health issues, you know. So he always kind of sucked a little bit. And so it is him in this. And it is also his life as a teenager. I think the war started, has been going on, like, most of his life.
Right.
And so there's this shot in the music video where it's these cheerleaders. And it is a modern time music video. And so there's these cheerleaders, and then they all put hazmat masks on. And I thought that was an interesting representation of, like, the war going on as he was a teenager.
Right.
And so he could, like, you know, a lot of subcultures are very anti-war.
Yeah.
Especially, like, edgy ones.
Yeah.
Are very, the war complex is bad. But then he didn't understand it and got preyed on it. So it is, like, just darken your clothes, strike a violent pose. Maybe they'll leave you alone, but not me, as in, like, the recruiters.
It's too late. Yeah, yeah,
well, yeah.
Too late for me, but maybe you can get away from it.
Yeah, just because he is, like, this
person. Nice. I like that. You. I like that
I like
interpretation.
It too,
yeah, yeah.
Right?
I'll have to listen to it again with that in mind.
Yeah, and I think it's handy. It is, like, a nice metaphor, and it is something that Gerard would, like, go for. And so, yeah, and, like, I do think it is a fun, like, I don't remember what song we were talking about that was, like, you can, like, darken your clothes and strike a violent pose, but you aren't actually, like, monk because you are not anti-war and you joined the war anyway.
Right.
I don't know what song you're talking about that had a similar, like, you can pretend like you know what you're talking about.
Right.
So then Disenchanted.
Disenchanted. All right, I've got a clip for this one. This might be my last clip, but I like this one.
Are you playing that on speaker?
Oh, is it coming?
You are, it is.
sold the cause for the queen. Hang on, I'll bring that back into my audio port. Doesn't like my.
There we go.
Well, I was there on the day they sold the cause for the queen.
So I, this one I said was very Hedwig.
Ooh, yeah.
Like that music, and I was there when this happened, and like, look, this omniscient kind of thing. Mm-hmm. I think that was super Hedwig in the Angry Inch.
Right.
All right, so this is, I've got more now. This is him really kind of changing his mind, thinking back on the decisions that he's made, mm-hmm. and changing his mind and deciding that he wants to stay. I wrote that he's disenchanted with disenchantment,
mm-hmm.
that like he spent this time being disenchanted. And like, mm-hmm. I don't want this. I'm going to go to hell. I'm going to give this up. That. I'm like emo. But now I'm being disenchanted with the disenchantment that I used to have. If I'm so wrong, why are you still listening to me? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that's a really cool kind of line. Like if you think we should stay together, mm-hmm. If you don't have anything to say about my lifelong wait for a hospital stay, or this was never. Oh.
What?
That's like the. It's one of the lyrics. Yeah, one of the lyrics. And then.
You're just a sad song with nothing to say about
this. This never meant nothing to you.
Yeah.
So I think that's an intentional double negative.
Yeah.
Never meant nothing to you,
mm-hmm.
because it does mean something to
yes.
you, right?
I assume so.
If it never meant. Because sometimes you can just. The people will just say never meant nothing, right?
Right.
Because you really do. So run away. Like it goes back to my like primary theme of the story is like, yeah. like run away from me, right?
Cute.
But I'm going to stay.
Mm-hmm. All right. So here we go. So this ties into my interpretations of teenagers, too. I was there on the day they sold the cause for the queen, as in he was never for the actual cause of being this, like, alt kid.
Mm-hmm.
And he was there, like, the day that the... we were talking about this, too. This is, like, a conversation we had. Is like, there were only, like, four real punk people, and then everyone else just started dressing like them and copying them. And so that's sort of what that is. And when the lights all, we went out, we watched our lives on the screen. I don't know how this fits into the album, but it does tie into one of my favorite interpretations of the afterlife, is literally that you are you and all your past lives and are watching your next life.
Yeah, and I'm like, if you really want to dig into the war stuff, too, then you can have, like, everybody back home during some of those early wars would, like, go to the movie theater and watch reels of news about what was happening in the war, and so you would see what the soldiers were doing. And in Vietnam, certainly, like, that was when we had TV.
We watched our lives, too, like, as a broader
Everybody's watching their lives on TV because they're keeping track of what was happening in Vietnam or something like that.
I hate the ending myself, but it started with an all right scene. That's cute. That fits into that a lot.
Yeah.
This is sort of his, like, disenchanted and famous last words are him sort of realizing that it wasn't his fault that he went to hell, and, like, coming to terms with the fact that he was dead.
Right.
And so this is, like, the beginning of that is sort of him going back on all these parts of his life. And so, yes, a lot of this is actually kind of about Gerard, like, the roar of the crowd, like, giving heartache to sing, I think is a lyric, like, about Gerard Way. You know, this is about, so, like, sort of the first verse is, like, literally everything going. So he was there on the day they sold the cause for the queen when he was a young teenager, watching the lives on the screen, which, like, what you said was, again, as a teenager, ending myself, sorry, with an all right scene, is about his life in general.
Right.
Like, it was this picturesque scene of him and his, like, loving family being born, and he hates the ending of dying young. It was a roar of the crowd that gave me heartache to sing, maybe when he was in a band, I don't know. It was a lie when they smiled and said, you won't feel a thing, when he was dying, when he was going under for the surgery, anesthetic.
Right.
As we ran from the cops, like, back to his, like, bender, we laughed so hard it would sting. And then it was also, this is where it makes me start to be really emotional, is him looking back, and it's also looking back on those times, and looking back at the positives of this, like, mental health struggle, we laughed so hard it would sting, and, like, seeing that, like, as a good memory, and as a positive thing, that, and, like, it is sort of, some of these positive memories and false positive memories, like when they smiled and said you won't feel a thing, and the roar of the crowd gave him heartache to sing. It started with an all right scene.
Mm-hmm.
It's him sort of being like, maybe it wasn't so bad.
Right.
And so then if I'm so wrong, how can you listen all night long? How will it matter after I'm gone?
Mm.
Will it matter because everyone's in hell?
Right.
It doesn't matter that I was a fuck up. It doesn't matter that I had all these struggles because everyone goes here anyway. And then, he's talking to, like, the fucked up version of himself. Like, you're just a sad song with nothing to say.
Mm-hmm.
He's just sad. And it could have even been, like, Like, yeah, after the war, he's just sad, and he's this mess. He's this drunken mess. And, like, it could even be him talking to himself in sleep, where he's just super fucked up. Mm-hmm. You have nothing to say about your lifelong wait for a hospital stay.
Right.
If you think that I'm wrong, this never meant nothing to you. And so it is him, like, reminiscing on his life and realizing that, you know, it's... And this came up in a couple other songs before this, too, that I forgot to mention. Hold on, let me get my notes. I've just been looking at the lyrics now. Is him being, like, I'm like starting to become not sorry about it. I'm right. starting to think it isn't my fault
right.
that I went to hell because of like the war and my conditioning as a teenager. Like I did bad things, but everyone ended up doing this bad thing. Like, all a good place, you know,
right.
Is like everyone ends up here. And so maybe it's okay that I fucked up and it's okay that I'm here. And then that transitions to Famous Last Words, and that's what Famous
Last Words. Yeah, I mean, it's a clear turning point. Like, for me, it's him deciding to not die and not give in and not go, right? Yeah. And for you, it's a clear turning point, right? And then Famous Last Points, I've just got, or Famous Last Words, my Famous Last Points of this podcast. clearly he's changed his mind. I'm not afraid to keep living.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is him, like, literally, like, deciding that he wants to stay, and then the sleeper dead is kind of the decision to stay or go. Like, I have to pick. Yes. And then in the end, he decides that he wants to stay and fight. He mm-hmm. still has to deal with the cancer, so he still might die, but he decides he wants to fight and
try to try and stay.
He doesn't want to give
that's
up.
So,
yeah.
That's such a good interpretation. Yeah. And yeah, so this is also Famous Last Words, and then this is also, a lot of these lyrics are sort of like, is it hard understanding I'm incomplete? Like, every person is. A life is so demanding, I get so weak. And it is him sort of being like, actually, like, if you stay, I'll be forgiven. Nothing you can say can stop me going home. And him coming to terms with his death and with the people he left behind, and being like, yes, I left behind a poor legacy, but I'm okay with that now, and I'm okay with the fact that I struggled. And that's, like, a really important message to me. It's like, it is okay that I had a fucked up life,
right.
And, like, that's... Okay, that's so, something I can accept and move on, and I don't have to repent at the last moment, because now I've realized that it's fine, and that, like, some of these problems weren't also my fault, because there is, like, a mental health problem where you just, like, you're like, it's my fault, I'm being dramatic, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I've got a point here that I'm still working on, I need to listen to it a couple of times, but, like, it's the, if you stay, I'll be forgiven, right?
Yeah.
So this is him kind of saying, I want to turn it around.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm going to keep fighting and stay alive. And so you can stay with me and help me.
Yeah.
And help me turn it around so that we can go to heaven. And I can be forgiven and I can go to heaven with you.
Mm-hmm.
And we don't have to be apart. Like, I've been fighting this whole time to let go of you. And you've been fighting for us to stay together because you think that I'm wrong, right? In the last song, right? The whole, if you think I'm wrong, disenchanted, right?
Yeah.
So she's fighting for him. And then he finally realizes, okay, I'm going to fight and I'm going to stay alive. And because I'm still alive, like I was saying before, up until the point you die, there's a chance to turn it all around.
Mm-hmm.
And so since he's going to stay and fight and stay alive, she can help him. If you stay with me, maybe I'll be forgiven.
That's so cute.
And so I can go to heaven and we can spend eternity together like we wanted to
That's
in the first
really
place.
That's a really sweet narrative, yeah. And it definitely, like, again, both me and Gerard and Jonathan Sims all, like, love tragic romance.
Yeah.
I've been surrounded by tragic romance albums, too, because I've been listening to The Mechanisms a lot, and, like, all of their albums are just fucking tragic romances.
Right.
Love Mechanisms. I should make you listen to one of their albums at some point.
So that's my
anyway,
take.
Yeah, and so this, yeah, it's fairly, so there's, like, a bunch of different ways to interpret it. Either he chooses, he gets to go back because he gets to, like, fight the cancer off.
Right.
He gets, like, sort of revived.
Right.
He accepts his death and just, like, stays in hell forever.
Right.
Or, like, even goes back into, like, a sleeping state. Or maybe he, like, ascends to heaven, whatever. Or he gets reborn. Like, my personal interpretation is he is not afraid to keep on living. He's not afraid to go back into the world now that he's realized. Yeah, and now that he knows, and he's realized, and, like, that's sort of how, like, the end could be like that.
Right.
Is he now knows that he is okay with the fact that he fucked up. He's okay with the fact he makes mistakes, and he can try and do better next time.
Yeah.
And it's also not the end of the world if he doesn't.
Yeah.
And that makes me sob. And then also, just, like, a note on this song is that this, like, on the more personal band member version of this song, is that during the Black Parade and during the writing of the Black Parade, Mikey Way, not Michael, so the actual Michael Romance, was struggling with a lot of, like, self-doubt, depression, drug problems, lot of really... Mikey went through a really, really hard time.
Right.
And Gerard wrote this song sort of for him, like, as an anthem.
Oh, cool.
And it makes me really, really emotional. Their relationships make me really, really emotional.
There was
his recovery. It's just like,
I don't know if you remember the TV show, like, American Chopper, where those guys, like, made motorcycles in Orange County,
I remember
County,
it
New York,
just a little bit.
Like,
fake Orange County. That's ours. That's
one
our thing.
Of the... one of the brothers, the big guy that was super like funny and mm-hmm. nice. He's Mikey Tuttle. Whenever I hear the name Mikey, I always picture Mikey Tuttle in my head. Because I loved Mikey Tuttle.
Yeah. And then there's this really sweet moment in the Return concert where Mikey... So basically, Mikey always thought he was, like, the least favorite member mm-hmm. of the band. Mm-hmm. He was, like, the forgettable one.
Right.
And so, like, what makes me really emotional is during the Return concert, he was doing one of his solos, and, like, the whole crowd just started going, Mikey, Mikey, Mikey. Nice. And it makes me so emotional. Yeah. I did it at home.
Yeah. I don't know. I didn't do anything for Blood.
Yeah, okay. Do you want me to tell you what Blood is?
It clearly doesn't make any...
No, wait. Actually, this is really important that I tell you about Blood.
All right.
So,
do it quickly, please.
Sorry. Blood is about... they sort of took off into fame, like, with... Revenge was, like, a huge album already, their previous album to this, and so they were already super famous.
Right.
And so this is about their fans. And how, like, they give them blood gallons of the stuff. Pour out my heart and soul to these people.
Right.
And perform. And so... What's really interesting about this is always the hidden track or the last track of the album is foreshadowing the next album. Because the theme of, the lyrical theme during Danger Days outside of the narrative, the lyrical theme of fame and how it hurts you is huge on Danger Days and Danger Days theme.
It's their teen spirit, right? Because that's what teen spirit was too, right?
Yeah.
Entertain us kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
I give you so much.
That's awesome. So that's what's interesting is that, and so this is also true. I just want to talk about it because I don't know how many people have made this parallel. But the last song on Bullets, the first album, was Demolition Lovers. And then the Demolition Lovers were the main characters of Revenge.
Right.
And then the last song on Revenge was Bury Me in Black, which is...
So what was the hidden track on their last album?
See...
So what's their next album going to be about?
It's so weird because Danger Days had such a strange release. Because they also had some songs that only came on the first... order. So there was also 0% We Don't Need a Song About California, which are technically on Danger Days, but they only came out during certain releases of Danger Days. But then there's also Vampire Money, which is sort of this is the song, but I don't even know if that counts because it doesn't actually fit into the narrative. This is just a song they wrote about not wanting to be on Twilight.
And so then they talked about vampires in this album too. There was one line Vampire about Money, all these vampires.
Also, they write about vampires a lot.
Yeah.
And so it is sort of their secret song, and it is about how fake. And so it is a goodbye song. It's not a foreshadowing song because they kind of knew they were ending when they were writing.
I didn't love that on Spotify. If I picked Blood, I had to listen to 5 minutes of silence before the song started playing.
Okay, yes, that's because it was a hidden track.
No, I get it, but you don't have to do it that way digitally.
Here's a little trick for you. If you listen to, so they reissued it, the Black Parade's Living with Ghosts, the 10th anniversary. They released in 2016.
Yeah, I saw that.
And so that has Blood. That's just Blood.
Because I think on Genius, it had that, and so I was like, oh my god, there's 40 songs on this album.
No. That's actually, and so that's where All the Angels was released, and so their demos of House of Wolves. So House of Wolves used to be even hornier. Mm-hmm. Oh my god! Mm-hmm. Ooh, House of Wolves had a really interesting process because the two demos are completely different from the way the song actually ended up.
Yeah, I'll listen to it.
It's neat. It's really cool. It's a good album.
So yeah, no, I thought it was excellent. I loved it. I will keep listening to it. I'm not going to stop listening to it because we finished the podcast. And I will. What else should I listen to? You said to be prepared for the concert. What's the next probably most common thing that they will play tracks off of?
See, I don't know. I feel like they would end up playing more tracks from Danger Days than Revenge because Revenge has some of their most iconic songs, but it's only two of them.
Right.
Well, Danger Days has more iconic songs. But still, yeah. And also, Famous Last Words, I'm warning you now.
Maybe if I go to Spotify and just play them, through popularity.
Yeah, do that.
In popularity order.
I'm, warning you now that I'm going to cry singing this at the concert, because, the whole crowd singing I'm Not Afraid to Keep on Living, knowing that they attract people who struggle with mental health is,
Okay, so kudos. Good job. That was, a two-hour podcast. But,
I was a little bit passionate about this or something.
No, it's real good. And, like I said, I love the fact that we could both come, totally different stories. Like similar notes. Mm-hmm. Like I said, when he's determining to turn around and change things.
Yeah.
We both pick up on that. But what that means internally, we both bring our own stuff to it. I think that's awesome. I think it's a sign of good art that people can come with a bunch of different interpretations.
Yeah, and I think it's a really good sign that you... could still come up with a narrative despite just knowing that there was one.
I think it's really cool, right? I want to keep listening to it and keep teasing it apart and pulling on threads and stuff.
Not at all.
Next podcast.
Yeah.
So since we're on vampires, I think we'll do Lost Boys.
Ooh, yay!
So we're gonna,
excited.
We'll curl up on the couch and watch some Lost Boys. And then we'll do a whole podcast about Lost Boys, and then you can give me something else to do next time.
First time should have been called.
So yeah, Lost Boys. Next time.
There's some boys doing some
Lost. Awesome. Thank you for sharing this. It was really good. I enjoyed it.
Yes.
I will keep listening. And we'll hang out and do Lost Boys next time. And until then,
bear with us.